It's Seven Line Herd! Brought to you by Good Game St. James.
Now in Paddington.
With more enthusiasm than a money shot from E.T.'s failed porn career, the aliens are coming! At least twice as offensive as a non-ironic black fly in your Chardonnay, these alien invaders plan to panic our cities like the opening of a Krispy Kreme franchise. All we have standing in the way is XCOM, a team of highly trained planetary defense nutjobs. Victory, and you'll never have to drink in this town again. Defeat, and shares in silicon lube will skyrocket in price. This is Seven Land Hand. XCOM, the board game, has its roots in the 1994 Microprose video game UFO, Enemy Unknown. There have been 10 evolutions of the franchise since that release before the publication of the board game in 2015. At that time, in stepped mathematical madman Eric M. Lang, a man with five separate heads all conjoined to form the facade that he calls a face. Go on, Google him. It's a fantasy flight game, meaning it has a better production than a horny rabbit whilst maintaining the quality and refinement equal to Kate Beckinsale's left nostril. The game's elevator pitch reads, "Placed in command of the elite military organization known as XCOM, you must find some means to turn back an escalating alien invasion. As UFOs appear in orbit and worldwide panic threatens to undermine national governments, the game's companion app and its push-your-luck dice-rolling mechanics immerses you deep in the tension and uncertainty of a desperate war against an unknown foe." One disclaimer before we proceed. Eric M. Lang may not actually be a madman, and the amount of faces with what appears to be his head may only be equal to one. But what does it all mean to gamers? Today, the podcast has been invaded by Martian Matt McHale.
Good evening.
Riley Extraterrestrial Everts.
Hello.
And Xenomorphic Justin Edwards.
Hey, yeah.
I am, you are, we are XCOM, Play Squad of Thunder, as they refer to us on the streets now.
Yeah. That's, man. That's what they always throw down there, Thunder.
I'm finding it increasingly difficult not to say XCOM, like XCOM.
I was going to say, is that how we're going to refer to it?
Well, it's that XCOM. Important. It's that important. You've got to say it with some sort of emphasis. It can't be just XCOM, I'm going to play XCOM tonight. You've got to be like, I'm going to play XCOM tonight.
XCOM.
It's like I learned that voice from, there used to be videos back in the VHS videos. It always used to, either at the beginning or the end, it used to be like a logo would come up and there'd be a guy going, Viacom.
Yeah. That's right.
Viacom. That guy is swallowing his own throat as he says it. He'd be perfect for the XCOM, the board game.
XCOM.
He's ended up with throat cancer. That's why he can't do it.
Maybe we can get a soundbite from him for the next time.
Anyway, gentlemen, how are we? What have you been up to this month of gaming?
Well, aside from playing XCOM a bit.
Have we done our research or what?
XCOM.
Man, you guys are in for a treat.
Had a few games of, was it Kings of Tokyo? Did we play that the other day?
Yeah, we played King of Tokyo.
There's only one.
Yeah. That is good fun. Yeah.
That was fun. Lots of dice.
I wish we were doing a pod on that soon, but no. We've been instructed to do something else.
Well.
More on that later.
Yeah, might have to wait till the next expansion comes out.
Okay.
Matt? Anything?
Well, I've been crashing and burning on my 365 game a day challenge.
A day? Yeah. 365 games a day?
I've amended it twice.
One game a day.
Surely one game a day.
365 times.
That's right. See, I can't even say the name of the geek list properly.
How many games are you up to?
I'm up to 30, about nearly 40.
Oh.
And we're 3 months in, so
it's not bad.
That's shit.
No, February's a short month.
Yeah.
Well, I'm afraid I had to amend it twice. The First Amendment was to say, I'll try and fit as many games as I can possibly play into 365 days. And then I've just amended it to read, I'll play as many games as I can possibly manage to get through in a year. So I've left all the numbers out of it now because, I'm struggling.
Little do you know that I'm determined for you to play 365 in 1 year.
He's going to make you.
So we have a sit down and we just hit him hard.
Now you've suggested he's going to try and make you do it in 1 day.
Well, yeah, we could. Speaking of 1 day, we've got Tabletop Day coming up on the 11th of April.
Awesome.
So we could try and cram at least 5 or 6 more games into that day.
Definitely.
You can take 5 or 6 days off after that.
Maybe I could just jump from table to table. I'll play everybody's game. I'm a character, and I'll jump from table to table to table. Hopefully I'll get 300 games in one day.
Kasparov, who went around playing chess for 12 games or something? Yeah, you just do that.
I'm not much of a madman.
Oh, but they're all different games, so it doesn't...
We're going to be there, because we're doing the Seven Land Hand live from
International
Board Games Day.
Interstellar.
We'll send a copy to Will Wheaton and say, hey, you missed out on this, mate.
Yeah.
Come down us next year and we'll include you.
Justin, What have you been up to? And would I point out before you say anything else, first time we've done it with four people, apart from the madness that was the beer and pizza show, we never had four live mics at one stage.
Yeah, it's looking pretty good.
Except for the Dungeons & Dragons. There's so many caveats to this, never before.
Yeah, except for all the times we have. Specific cases.
This is your bog standard Seven Land hand, right? No extra, no party.
What's bog standard about it? We're talking about XCOM.
Yeah, this is your bog standard, but we've upped it. We've got four people on board.
Upgraded, all good to go.
It means you've always got someone to look at.
Yeah.
Riley, I'm making eye contact with you right now.
Oh, God, this is very David. Don't look at me, man. I was actually really surprised. As like a long-time listener of the podcast, I was like, surely that intro takes like 40 hours and you're like, you take it home and you chop it and stuff. You just run it in one.
Yeah, fucking nailed it.
That was all one take. He was telling us it was going to take like two or three, but we had faith.
Just kind of, it was good.
Got it in one.
I'm more of a on-screen guy. Like, I usually play video games, so...
Go home.
Yeah, I know, right? But this ties in really well, and I guess we can talk about that a bit later.
For sure.
I've got my hands on Star Realms.
Yeah.
And I know that Rob was in here last week and just making it, you know, really making that thing talk, but it is amazing.
We played good games and canister, it was a lot of fun.
Star Realms is fantastic.
Yeah, and because of that, we'll be reviewing that next month. We'll be... hitting Star Realms pretty hard.
Aaron's into it as well, right? So there's a fair few Star Realms.
Yeah, but he's in New Zealand forever, so...
Oh, forever.
Yeah.
Forever, never coming back.
Almost.
Yeah.
He's had aspirations on becoming a hobbit, and he's going to make his
come true. Or an orc.
Don't steal the hobbit away from Riley. He's got the hobbit thing down. That's his.
Yeah, anyway. Riley's sitting right next to me, whereas Aaron's too far away to hit me.
I have a bit of advice for everybody, gamers, and probably more like miniature builders and things like that. I was fixing something with some hardcore super glue, right? And as you do with super glue, you get it all over your fingers. Yeah, yeah, we know it sticks your fingers together. But you pull it apart, everything's fine. Forget about that. That's entry-level problems, right? Your fingers are glued. Forget about it.
Advanced glue problems.
However, for the last week, I've been an iPhone 6 user who has admitted to the fact that I'm too lazy to use the PIN code. However, the day after you wake up, after doing your super glue activities... all your fingerprints are full of glue, and the fingerprint sensor doesn't work anymore.
You filled your pores, so to speak.
I forgot what they call. There's a name for them, fingerprint ridges, isn't there? Fingerprint ridges.
Ridges, yes.
Mm. Yeah.
That's it.
So, on one side, bad, because I couldn't get into my iPhone 6, but good side, I now know how to like break into banks and stuff and not leave fingerprints of super glue.
There you go.
The hydrochloric acid is going back down the sink.
Just leave behind a load of skin instead of fingerprints.
Because you've got
glue all over your hands. Yeah. It's going to take some skin off with it when you leave it on things, surely.
Yep. Oh, haven't you ever done that? It's like your fingers become like
nodes of plastic. No, I haven't ever covered my fingers in super glue.
Have you never done that?
Rattled them on the table. No, it's never been something
I've done in my life. Nat, you've done it, haven't you?
Oh, yeah. I can relate. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Have you ever built miniatures or anything?
Yeah, I have. I just cover my hands in super glue.
He wears gloves.
No.
He fucking wears gloves.
No, it's so soft and supple.
Just very careful.
He doesn't want to mess with his hand modelling career.
Yeah. Well, it's what brings in the big bucks. You know?
Yeah, that's it. All right. Well, we're here to talk XCOM, so should we blob and...
Sorry?
XCOM.
All right.
XCOM. Ding! All right, back after this. XCOM. We're back. All right, so this has been a shite load of fun for the whole month we've been playing it. I mean, I thought we'd play it once, put it down, walk away. We played it once, tutorial level, played it again, stepped it up a bit,
played it again,
went hard. We were so rock hard about this
game.
Rock hard about that game. We played it also in general.
Yeah.
So, in general, guys, let's bring the listener up to speed on a game that they might have trouble getting their hands on at the moment, but what's the objective of XCOM?
Everything that's hot at the moment, it invariably goes out of print or is very hard to get.
Yeah.
But the objective is to save the world, to stop alien invasion, to prevent the hordes and masses of alien, creepy crawly grey, whatever, face huggers, four-armed extra alien blood.
Listener, are you familiar with aliens? That's what we're trying to stop.
Those guys
coming in.
Brain scanners. What else is there?
Floaters. We got floaters. Is there one in Men in Black that drank sugar water? That was pretty awesome.
Oh, he was cool.
All of those guys.
Giant cockroach guy. Yeah.
We're trying to keep them off the streets. So the general narrative of the game then, what's happening? Well, they're invading. We've got to stop them.
Yep.
Stop them to win. So what is XCOM? I mean, it sounds like a ridiculous term.
It's taking place on a planet that it seems to be alien invasion second nature. It's just like they're checking out the paper. It's like, oh, you know, rain in Singapore. You know, oh, aliens in Africa. You know, stuff like that.
Let's check the weather.
Yeah.
Alien invasion today. Chance of.
Yeah.
Should we get more worried about it? And that's something that seems to be important to this game.
Well, yes, seems to be the consensus amongst most of the continents.
Yeah.
Involved.
Yeah. But yeah, so much so that they formed XCOM, which narratively is the government organized, you know,
band of hard asses.
Yeah, the defense mobile, you know, yeah. And run by, you know, black faces and.
Sorry, what?
We wouldn't invite you on.
Hang on, let's.
Shadow cabinet. Stuff like that.
We've got ground troops. We've got
ground troops.
Satellite defense systems.
We got. Ships, plane,
interceptors.
Yeah. There we go.
There's a whole. We basically, the players, and it's a four-player game.
It has to be a four-player game.
We represent the each arm branch, if you like, of XCOM. So one of us is the commander of the forces of. Into what each individual role does in a bit later, but there's the commander, there's the chief scientist, there's the squad leader, and then there's the
other guy
who is the central officer
who
has a very important role to play, which we'll get into when we talk about the components, because there's a very special component as part of this game.
Yeah.
So as each of these arms of this clandestine military organisation, we are sent out. We complete missions. We do research. We pull our resources together to stop, I don't know, whether it's an overt or a covert. It depends on the mission you're doing.
Yeah.
Alien invasion plot.
And it's a very collaborative game as well. It's not just a collaborative game.
Yeah.
You have to talk. You have to talk well and quickly as well.
Yeah. Yep. If you cannot be the guy who sits in the back and just does nothing because your station, you'll get overwhelmed basically, and everyone will be yelling at you because you run out of a budget or you don't have enough troops.
XCOM works, isn't it? Yeah. XCOM is the general format of it and those characters that you've talked about. There's a funding component which funds research, which then fuels the forces, and the other guy who's on the satellite. That's at the central. Is he the central commander? Isn't he
the central officer?
Central officer.
Central officer running them satellites.
You think of him like, you know, if you think back to Pandemic, which we reviewed.
Yeah.
He's a bit like a dispatcher in a way. Is like this person that sits in an office in front of big computer screens and directs the play, directs where things delivered to who gets to.
It goes one step beyond Pandemic as well. Yeah. Even though you've got your own different roles in Pandemic, these roles are a little bit more. They really call on whatever.
They really rely on each other.
But even within the role, you know, within the role, there's more you can do, or there's more of a responsibility on your shoulders.
Quite deep. You have to do a lot.
Yeah, you could go quiet, couldn't you, in Pandemic, and just go, I'm going to do this, or I'll follow your lead, and I'll just go and mop up, and I won't really do anything, even though I've got this skill here. XCOM relies on you using what your role is to full effect. Otherwise, you're going to get your asses kicked.
Well, I found in Pandemic, there's certain roles where, like the dispatcher, for example, where you can actually take control of other players' pawns, and you move them around the board, effectively directing them what they can do, taking not all their turns, but you direct some of the way that they play. This is different to that in that it relies, everybody has their own station. Nobody can sort of alpha game here because there's just no time to sit around and listen to someone diatribe about how they should do this because this will happen and it'll make me look much better and blah, 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 blah. There's just no time. It's a rocket of a game that flies through during the phases, which there are two of. There's a time phase and then there's the resolution phase. Now, the time phase.
That was just the thing before we get into that, even. Yeah. How does, maybe Riley, you want to run us through, how do aliens have an effect on the board? We talked a little bit about how XCOM works against the aliens. What are the aliens?
Sure. So, aliens arrive in, I suppose, three ways. They show up in spaceships on continents. So, the board is basically a map of the Earth. Split up into continents, and aliens invade particular continents in their UFOs. So that's one way. The other way is they attack the XCOM base directly.
Yep.
That's where they turn up in their utes.
Yeah, they just because we're really bad at locking the door. Apparently, they just
they can just get in. They've got alien powers. They just arrive.
We've got doors. I don't know.
Invaded again? Yeah, can somebody lock the fucking door?
Jerry. another way is through missions. So, you know, we have to send our troops off on missions, and
so
in those
mess
missions,
with their plans,
aliens
yeah.
can show up. So those are the three ways that aliens show up to impact the board. Oh, they also send UFOs into orbit,
yeah.
Which messes up communications and stuff that happens during the timed phase.
Yeah, so things start getting out of order, which yeah. we'll get to into how to play.
Yeah, so, you did mention the board. And just looking at it, it's just everything on this board is just a way to die. But like, for you guys to get messed up, like everything's red and orange and everything yeah. screaming at you. It's like
except
you need to take care of
this.
Research
is placid, placid blue.
Yeah, I like to think in like that science, like, they got like the water feature and the Zen garden. Yeah. The garden is hanging out.
So we got perfectly green plants.
Look at all the way around the board where your commander and your squad leader sit. Once, you know, it's all doom, gloom, red, or yellow, orange
crisis.
Yeah. But you get to the scientists, like you said, and it's just blue. It's a soft tones. It's the aliens are going to need scientists themselves, probably on the planet to liaise with. So I think if anyone's, they're going to want to destroy the military might. Mm. They're going to want to destroy our capacity to stop them. But
hang
out with the researchers and the scientists right. because you know maybe they're.
I
anus
hang out
is,
with researchers
better for probing.
So
we talked a bit about how the board is laid out. What are the other components in the game?
Okay, so the board, it's a square board, and every side, each side of the four sides is attributed to a player.
Yeah.
So it's your area of responsibility.
Almost like a command station. Like, you know, this
almost
is like your
like
piece, you know, like
yeah.
strapping.
The only exception to this would be you know, where you're able to, you put your units out into the middle of the board and... But in a sense, it's very logical in the way it's laid out. So each step side of the board, when in the time phase and the resolution phase, there things happen in order. So in a particular sequence, now things can happen that events are thrown out of whack and,
yeah.
and certain stations will go out of order. But the board itself, it's very clearly defined. You know
it's
what
fantasy
all these
flight.
Sections
are. Well, you're expecting that, aren't
amazing
you?
Amazing production value.
Yeah.
The other components, the... Here we go. If we do the obligatory shake, rattle and roll of the miniatures...
Ooh, that sounds like a bag of miniatures.
Yeah.
Oh, they sound fantastic, don't they?
what sort of miniatures do you get with it?
What do you got? So we've got three types of miniatures. There's...
Four
types of miniatures?
Five. Yeah, five, I make it.
Depends. Well,
you
categorizing.
Three different types of soldiers.
There's four different types of soldiers.
Four yeah. different types. Oh,
you've
we've
controlled
six.
Them often yeah. enough to...
I was just categorizing them. There are soldiers, there are airplane interceptors, there are alien ships, and
UFOs.
Then there are dice.
Dice miniatures.
Well, they're sculpted. They're individualised dice. They're not
yes,
your standard 1 to,
yeah,
1,
yeah.
to 6. One to six.
Yeah,
so
funny they were.
So there's four different types of soldiers, which all have different skills as well.
Your heavy, your assault, your snipers, and
support.
Yeah.
So they represent the different roles in the game within the... within the squad commanders, the squad leaders,
and they're good miniatures. You're talking about painting them, Matt.
There's
loads of detail on them. They'd be fantastic painted up.
Yeah. Matt, hurry up.
Yeah, hurry up. Well, I've got to get through my Imperial Assault ones first. But
one thing we did question though is it's like everywhere there are great miniatures, but then the satellites, which you think would have miniatures, just have. Count
yeah,
like
they're just chits.
Chits, yeah. yeah. So which it seems a bit bizarre, but that's you know the slight down on any of it.
Yeah, I think we discussed
sort of
this,
fantastic.
And that was
the scientist has chips too. Yeah.
Instead of nicely,
but I mean, I think it makes sense because
they get exhausted.
You have to stack up some of them in some places,
okay.
so you can't.
Ah.
It's quite hard to stack up miniatures.
Yeah,
though they've tried with these UFOs.
They're very reminiscent of Cosmic Encounter.
Have you ever played that like Bucket of Monkeys game?
Oh, maybe
Barrel of Monkeys.
Yeah, yeah. They stack up pretty well. They hang pretty well more. Anyway. When Fantasy Flight did that game.
Oh, can you imagine?
Them's the days.
Yeah, like individual monkey fibers.
Going to be like, genetically modified monkeys.
So but chits, sure. we got...
Yeah, the chits. So there's
give us the chits.
It's the currency of the game.
Yeah.
Which is in... It looks to me like Simoleonians from
it does a bit.
The Sims. That's just the symbol they
use. That's that video game talk coming through, man.
What well, end up,
they don't give it a name, do they? They don't give it a...
No,
it's not like dollars.
It's just money. Yeah. Money yeah. Currency.
Yeah, so we ended up just calling it like one money, didn't we?
Yeah, I think that's a bit of it. It's like that far dystopian, like, there ain't no cash no more because we're just this global front.
That's it.
Yeah. Yeah,
but let's not mince words. You know, this isn't $1 or one yen.
No,
this is millions. This is millions. This is an entire country's budget.
But, I mean, we're dealing with it costs the same... to send a guy into the base he's already in as it does to buy
Build an interceptor. Yeah.
That's it. That's probably because we've got lots of elevator levels and, you know, it costs money to run the elevator.
And food to get him there. That's it. All the bullets he fires at nothing out of panic on the way.
All the bottled water in the science facility.
Yeah, that's it. So there's the money chits, there's the research chits, which are a silhouette of a microscope, which has an exhausted side and an available side. So once you've used it up as a resource... which I think we'll get into a bit later on how that happens. So there's a big crossed out symbol on one side, and the same with the satellites. There's the satellite clearly in view, and then there's a crossed out side. The only other
victory tokens,
the success tokens, XCOM success tokens. They bear the XCOM symbol, and they're sort of pentagonal in shape, quite different. So they're quite they stand out. You know which cheat you've got.
Light.
There's also there's the dice, which are custom. They've got XCOM symbols on them, or they don't.
And easy to read, isn't it? How many? Because they've got a success token on them, or nothing.
Yeah.
And they've how many? Two. Each dice has two success symbols on it.
So that's a 33.3 chance of success.
Yep, that's right.
Riley?
Yep. I'll back you up on that one.
Hey.
Numbers.
That's the no maths versus maths. Brilliant. Yeah.
I'm the
no maths versus...
Yeah, that's it. Well, we do maths. In fact have a scientist of some...
Doctor of maths.
Doctorate, yeah.
Doctor Math.
Doctor Math. Welcome, Doctor Math. All right.
Thanks.
So we've also
call him Doctor Math.
they call me a lot of things.
He is a real doctor, but he knows how to... Anyone going to interrupt me?
Wave a flag.
He knows to wave a flag.
I'll interrupt you. There's
Thank
one
you.
More dice.
I don't have the lyrics for it.
Oh, really?
I did all right. We're getting the flag bit in there.
Okay. Yeah.
Anyway.
Alien dice. It's red.
I'm going to talk about the alien dice.
Alien
it's
die.
Red.
It's way to bring us back on track.
The alien die. We narrowed that down into in one of the pods.
You will
alien die.
Die,
that's right.
Yeah.
It's red. It's a D8, and it's, in itself, it's a pretty... You know,
so it's a D8. We can't
it works for you sometimes. And then in other times it works totally against you. So
in a great mechanic.
It is a great mechanic. So we'll talk about resolution a little bit later. But
there's a couple of decks of cards we've got to get through, isn't there?
Always. They've got it all. They really isn't much.
Yeah, we've got dice, we've got cards, we've got miniatures.
That's everything you expect to find in a board game.
Actually, this is genius.
Yeah, they've just covered all of the bases they could.
It's almost like a game in a box. Yeah.
Well,
but all the games.
All of the games.
With the cards themselves.
BoxCom.
There's aliens. So you've got your alien cards.
Yep.
You also have your scientific.
What kind of aliens are we looking at coming across?
They're in front of you there, Riley.
So Justin,
run us.
Just a note on the components. This is all stylized with a video game released in 2012 called XCOM: Enemy Within. They brought it out on PC. It looks fantastic. It made it out to the consoles eventually of the day, and it all looked like this. So if you're familiar with the title, the aliens
so
are
the same aliens.
Same aliens. So you got your Thin Man, which is as he sounds, he's a thin man looking guy. You've got
he's
your
a Slender Man.
Wheatfields Man. Horrible times. You got a Cyber Disc, which is a sort of like a robotic mini UFO that just cruises around, and within the game, it's quite a pain. And in this game, it is as well. Chrysalid, sort of like your more stereotypical
insecty.
And so Starship Trooper type, eating your brain, that sort of guy.
Acid for blood.
That's it. Your floater, which is a jetpack enabled.
Yeah, we've had our fun with that name.
we've done that one.
Yeah, we've done that one.
What joke could there possibly
that's
be?
So
listener, yeah, it's thank a, us now. We've already done that one. Yeah.
It's a slip that was tied before. The floater's like
slippery slope.
It's pretty badass. It's like
past the YouTube.
He's like a gooey Casper with a jetpack.
A gooey Casper.
Yeah.
Yeah. What's the name of? Gooey Casper. Oh, not with the jetpack. Gooey Casper
is
a
sex move.
Off Ghostbusters.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Ghostbusters.
Oh, of course,
the,
yeah.
Slimer.
There you go. Slimer with a jetpack.
Slimer with a jetpack.
You know, there's a Ghostbusters board game out now. It's kickstarting at the moment.
Well, yeah. And how do we feel about that?
Is it going to be with the reboot?
I don't know. From what I've seen, it looks pretty interesting.
That's because they're going to... Oh, fuck, here we go again. They're rebooting Ghostbusters, because in this world we've run out of ideas. But anyway...
It's like...
it's fucking nuts.
It's too much, in my opinion. You know,
of the reboot.
There's too much all reboots.
Like, yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying.
Everything's getting
stupid.
Absolutely weird.
And if it's not a reboot, it's a sequel.
But the thing is, when you're talking about this kind of stuff, it's like, if you're down with the reboots... then you're not a fan, and people looking at you like, what are you talking about? You don't want to watch, like, another 700 Spider-Mans or...
You didn't watch the original one.
No, because this is a topic we've covered on other things, but I like Spider-Man. Don't like any of the movies. I think I like the original ones with Tobey Maguire when they came out. Too much to my fault. I understand that they're terrible now, but I was happy to see it. The ultimate ones that came afterwards, I hated. But I like Spider-Man as a character. He's a really good character. They just fuck him up on... It's Sony, isn't it? That's Sony's fault, that one.
It's either Fox or Sony, but Marvel got him now.
Yeah, he's making a comeback.
Should be all right. He's going to be in the Avengers, and it's going to be Wicked. And
we're getting distracted, aren't we?
I'm distracted by your hat.
Why?
I just noticed it for the first time. Gears of War. I think it's quite interesting that we're playing XCOM and you're wearing a Gears of War hat.
See, I'm all about the war.
I've never seen David without the hat, to be fair.
He doesn't... There's nothing under it.
No. I'm afraid of glare.
It's a little dunsky.
But as I say,
you're also afraid of changing roles.
What about the T-shirt?
Yes. Yeah. He is afraid.
Curiosity, what's the worst thing that could happen? Oh, yeah. It's the puzzle box.
Yeah, it's the puzzle box off Hellraiser.
You're drilling it.
Oh, right.
Nice.
There's pop culture everywhere.
Yeah. And visual stuff for the listener at home. Awesome.
I'm glad I was here to explain it for you.
All right, we've derailed Justin completely. Yeah. What other aliens have we got?
There's aliens. You got your stereotypical big head, huge eyes. I think that's Paulie.
Paul.
There you go. You got him and a more senior Paul, and that's a sectoid commander.
Sectoid.
So a pair of sectoids. You got a sectopod, which is kind of like a dog. So like little minion dude. And an outsider. And something called a mutton.
Which is ridiculous. That's like they've run out of ideas.
Muton.
But I want to call
we
it
called
mutton,
it mutton.
Yeah.
Is what we were playing.
Mutton dressed as lamb.
But there we go. But
so that's your cast of alien characters that will... they're more like the ground forces and the mission aliens, aren't they? Otherwise, aliens will appear in the UFO miniatures on the board.
For sure.
Matt, you have a fistful of...
I have. I've got the chief scientist deck of...
Research cards
and ultimate weapons for fighting off the alien scum. They come in many, all the flavours of the board, so the cards for the commander, cards for the squad leader, cards for the central controller, and cards for the researcher even. So
each character that is played has their own like mini deck almost, haven't they, to draw from and to use.
Yeah, so each character has their own little game they have to play.
Yeah. And that's why it becomes more reliant that you have to do something. You can't just pass on your go and be non-effective because you will lose the game.
These cards are critical, are absolutely critical to you getting through the game. If you don't have them, if you don't research anything, if you've got a lazy scientist
who
just sits there drinking Red Bull and doing fuck all, you are going to
I didn't have
lose.
A Red Bull that day. Oh, you're not talking about me?
Oh, no. The first time we played the tutorial one.
Yeah. We got someone who probably doesn't listen to the podcast who would roll dice and take it personally if they didn't come up in his favour, which was amazing to watch. But
it was fantastic.
It was. Yeah. But you know, we thought we struggled to get things done.
Yeah.
But, so this card
sort of
like
more
said,
pointed out the fact that if research is running well, then the overall game will run well.
Yeah,
you could say that pretty much about any.
That's what our next two games showed. It's like if the research was going well, generally, things were on the up and up.
You take some names,
but then you can still fall down. Like if we should get wait for how to play. But if you fall down in terms of the money management as well, you get hit hard for that.
Hang on, we'll get into that.
Yeah.
I believe there was a bit of a budget discrepancy.
We'll
cover
that one. Missing out a few components. We'll get through.
So the researcher, the scientist,
everyone who fucked up will be listed later on.
And shame
in the show notes.
Show notes of him being in the naughty corner. It's the photo of Matt, for example, standing in the corner.
Maybe. Yeah, you'll have to shout into the microphone from over in the corner. Okay, so the chief scientist basically will put down these cards, that, and you agree somewhat to what you're going to do, what technology you want to research, but because it's timed, you don't get very much of an opportunity to say, hey, well, I've got this thing called satellite targeting. Well, how do we feel about satellite targeting? Is it something that we should research? It's more like, okay, I've got six cards in my hand. Satellite targeting is one of them. Stealth satellite, firestorm. Fuck, 3 seconds to go. Okay, firestorm. You research that.
Yeah.
You know, you still have the opportunity to tell people what you're researching, but then you just slap it down.
I've got tips for that when I get down to how to play.
Each of the cards, and I'll read out a couple just to give a view of what they do. Firestorm is tech for the commander specific in the resolution phase.
So you're doing research in this case for another player in the game.
Yeah.
You can make their game have more of an impact.
Well, these cards are advantages. They're options is what they really should call them. They're options for each of the section commanders to be able to... Each of the... I don't know, what do you call them?
Characters.
Each of the wings of XCOM.
Each of the arms of XCOM, yeah. That's right. Yeah, so
XCOM.
And there's several of them, so you have the opportunity to get multiple cards. I think where they're most useful is the squad leader and probably the scientists themselves, because some of them allow you to research particular technologies that allow you to research extra technologies for free, which is a very powerful ability.
And you can get victory tokens on stuff without any effort, extra rolls.
Yep. One of the great features of this game is whenever you kill an alien, you get it as salvage and it comes back to the researcher, who can then use it as free rolls.
Flavor. Well, it's so much flavor. It's like you get a dead alien. You kill an alien on the base. You drag his body to one side. The researcher does some research on it. All of a sudden now you're...
Suddenly you know how to blow up UFOs.
Yeah, now you know how to do more... more impact.
That's a turn.
yeah, but then your team will have more information about your enemy, and then because they're doing research on it, then that leads to another wing of XCOM having more of a powerful role.
Yeah. Another mechanic carried over from the video game. So if you terminated an enemy in the field in a certain way, you were able to bring it back and get more research opportunities in that. So they've really kept the flavour up.
Good flavour, yeah.
Well, light plasma rifle, for example, it costs two. You need two successes to research it. It's tech for the squad leader, resolution phase. Exhaust this to place one success on an enemy that has a support assigned to it. So there you go. You use this card. Effectively, you tap it, exhaust it, it's called, and then it gives a success immediately to your squad leader who's trying to defend the base or complete a mission in this case.
Yeah.
No, it just says an enemy that has a support assigned to it. So, a very valuable card for you. It allows you to get an instant success, especially when you might be pushed to get, you need three of them and you're going to be struggling to meet all three, you get one for free.
Yeah, and you want to push through it quickly.
So that's the technology deck. Ultimately, the most important out of the XCOM decks in the game.
Although, Crisis deck,
That's just a bitch deck. I love these games. And Robinson Crusoe has it. Pandemic has it.
It's the pile of shit that can go wrong to screw up your plans.
Dead of Winter has it. And it's a brilliant thing because it messes with your day massively.
This is how the game fights back. One of the ways it fights back.
It's cool that they've made them small. They're like a matchbook size card. Oh, yeah. It's great. It
makes you feel like they're not
just like, whatever, man. It's, like,
it's not going to hurt you that much.
And it's right in the corner of the board. Yeah. So you'd ignore it most of the time.
Yeah. There's about, I don't know, 30 of them or something like that. And each one of them represent a bad day for you. I haven't been through to see if they're how diverse they are.
Yeah.
But
I didn't get a feel for the being. We weren't getting the same crisis all the time.
No.
And we played it three games.
Yeah, some examples we came across was two soldiers have to die. Like instantly, they got real sick. They went out on base.
It costs you money to get them as well. So that really can hurt, especially if you've already taken a hit and a lot of them died the round before.
My personal favourite one is just shuffle the crisis deck and flip over the top card, and then it just happens.
It's
great. I love random things like that.
Yeah. So I was going to say, Matt, one of the things though is the soldier. The guy, squad leader. He starts with a card that if he places a soldier on it, he can tap, exhaust it, and negate a crisis card.
Yep.
So it does start with that ability, so it can negate the worst of the Crisis cards.
Yeah, you can.
But that Crisis card that you just talked about, Riley, there's no way of avoiding that one. If it happens, it's just going
to
happen.
The thing is, you might be able to exhaust that ability and that card and get rid of a Crisis card. But during each round, you're pulling out four to six of these
things. Yeah, we're playing on hard. We got about four around, or more sometimes.
Yeah.
Even on normal, when we played it on normal, we were still getting about four.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, and so then, you have to choose your moment, don't you?
Yeah, you do. And you're answerable to all of them. Kill one soldier assigned to the mission. Increase panic in Australia by one because, you know, panic is something that happens in Australia a lot. Deal two damage to the base.
Destroy
two
interceptors.
Spawn two UFOs in orbit. Yeah. Increase panic in Africa. I won't spoil them a bit. There's 30 odd. And I think they might carry some similar effects, but I'm fairly certain they're all individualized. So you're never going to hit the same one in one turn unless you have to shuffle it.
So earlier, Riley was talking about the mission cards. There's some various missions that come up throughout the game.
Yeah, so these are cards that...
The squad leader.
The squad leader.
There's a lot of stuff
going on here.
Yeah.
So the squad leader needs to flip over these cards and
I know what they are.
Pick them. And basically they're missions that you send your soldiers on. And you've got three tasks to beat in each mission. Some of which are probably going to be killing aliens that will spawn on them.
Yeah.
And when you achieve them, if you achieve them, you get something back.
Usually two rewards, usually.
Yeah, so like the chief scientist researches something from their hand for free and reduce panic in South America by two or something like that. They normally reduce panic by some amount in a specific continent.
And it's really rewarding the team for doing more than just defending. Because, you could really just turtle it up.
Yeah, you could just not bother with the missions. Yeah. But they give you some really nice bonuses.
Yeah, that's true.
To make that job of defending just a bit easy.
Yeah.
Defending.
I think they're quite thematic as well. Target extraction. You need to spend a couple of rolls getting into the LZ or wherever the extraction point is. And then you come across the alien, you destroy the alien, get the target, then you have to get back out again. So I think the cards themselves tell a little story, and if you're prepared to dive into the theme, then it's going to reward you with that chat, that incidental banter that goes on between
players. Because the missions also have specific skill requirements, so the squad leader has to choose his team well. I think in an early game, I'd sent in a couple of troops that didn't have the corresponding symbol to the challenge.
Yep.
So we just hit the wall. We're just like, all right, there's nothing more I can do. Even though I've got a guy that could essentially perform part of the mission, he couldn't perform that particular part. And so that was just the end of my attempt for that round.
All you can do is pay to send more soldiers out there.
Because, and that's next turn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think the final... there's two more components, but the penultimate component is the actual
the overall mission, major objective.
It's the objective card. It's the plan. It's the alien invasion plan.
Because do these correspond to the? Because I was usually out of the. I wasn't part of the original discussion.
Do.
You decide what sort of game you're going to play, don't you, at the beginning as well? Is that right?
In the next component, it actually lists them all, and then you choose the one you want to do.
Yeah.
Which for me, when we talk about it, it becomes more clearer.
Yeah.
But each side, there's a side that comes out and it tells you the mission is alien victory condition is occupation. And if you fail to defend your base adequately, you increase panic in each continent by one. However, there is a final objective. So basically the aliens, they've made landfall or whatever, they've
Critical
created
mass,
their beach. It's all about them creating their beachhead, basically, and getting to this final mission. You have multiple opportunities to complete the final mission. If you don't complete it, you lose. However, it punishes you for loss, for not completing it. It also rewards you if you do complete it. Your victory condition, complete the mission, win the game.
Yeah.
It's the only way players can win the game is by completing the final mission.
And you only get one shot at it.
No, you don't get one shot. If you don't complete it, that's what we thought. But
that
happened
when Matt made up a rule. We never thought Matt made that rule up.
Right.
Yes.
No, he was trying to break the game against us.
Yeah, that's it. I was trying to break the game, and it turns out I just broke myself.
Now, we've been talking about being told to turn over the card, choose it on the mission, an alien's invading the base. How do we get told this?
Okay, the final component.
There's one more component.
Is the companion app. The compulsory companion app.
This has gone multimedia on us all of a sudden.
It is. It's APP, ladies and gentlemen.
APP. It's no longer an app.
Well, actually, to call it an app is not entirely true because it's available on pretty much every platform, on Android and iOS devices. Plus, it's also available as a free browser application.
Can you run it? So you could run it off your phone.
Yeah, you can.
So we've only been playing it through your iPad.
So it's just much smaller. You also play it with a computer, but
logistics.
Logistics. So the iOS device, the Android device,
something you can carry around. So portable.
Yeah, that's it. And as we discovered, it's very thematic. It's enhances it with a bit of a soundtrack.
Matt even got a case for his iPad so that it looks XCOM-ish.
That's right.
Yeah, it's a big grey blue thing.
Are you a bit extravagant? You get your queuing us up some of the XCOM music. This will be a treat.
So, we're not making this shit up. It's real. It has buttons that do
this
things.
This is the sound of their lawyers calling our lawyers.
Pretty much.
And we don't have lawyers. We're fucked.
Yeah, it's like 2K.
Well, on the plus side, they probably can't find us. So.
This is the sound of us going off air.
It brings me to another interesting point. Do you want me to leave this playing? Or?
No, that's probably enough. I think we're allowed, 7 seconds or something?
It's all good. It's all good.
Suitcase, we're gone. Cool.
The rulebook itself is four pages back to back.
That's amazing, because that's the first thing I think I said to you. We sat down, opened it up, I grabbed the instructions to have a look at them, and it was just that lightweight pamphlet. It's not even a pamphlet. It's just a piece of paper.
Yeah.
And I was like, ooh, is that it? We're great. We're good to go. Yeah.
The only thing this is useful for is telling you what the components are.
And you already know that.
And where they go.
Setting up the board ready to play.
Yeah.
Because the rest of it is taken over by the board. It has the tutorial feature is really helpful in that it guides you through the process. It tells you what to do, it tells you how to do it, and then it tells you when to move on. So
I think we're ready for how to play then. How do we play?
And just sort of clarifying, so you said the tutorial process. I think I missed that bit. The game teaches you how to play it.
Correct. Yeah. Absolutely correct.
That's really cool.
Yeah. We mentioned panic a few times. About panic?
Yeah.
So the continents get upset the more aliens there are around.
Yeah.
And they go into panic. And the more they panic, the less money they're willing to give you because you're not doing your job. And that's one of the ways you lose the game.
Well, the only way to get money from the game is to keep control and because you get it from the continents.
Yeah.
So if they're panicked, they're not, their confidence in you is low, like you said. And
there's a way to gauge how the continents are panicking. How's that work, Riley?
So it's just a series of bars.
Eight bars and a finishing
eight
line.
Eight bars and a mean looking orange finish line.
Yeah.
There's worried, concerned, and panicked, I think.
So the app tells you where all the continents start off and how they feel at the start of the game.
Mm.
And they're all somewhere in the less mean-looking yellow bit of this bar.
Yeah, the five yellow bars.
Well, that really depends on the difficulty, which is something the app controls. So it's not just tutorial that you can pick. There's novice. Is that novice hard extreme?
Easy, normal, hard, don't play this.
An expert.
So all the continents that are fairly low on the panic scale. And as the game plays and you buck up, they get more and more panicked. And
Did you say buck up or fuck up?
I said fuck up.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's exactly right. The more you fuck up,
the more upset everyone gets.
Yeah.
And the more you buck up, the less upset they get. There you go.
Southeast Asia, we can get through this together.
And then if two continents get into the mean orange bar, you lose. Basically.
Right, so that's a lose condition.
That's one lose condition. Yeah.
You got another one?
The other one is the base health.
Yeah, base health, Justin. Yeah. How does that work?
So as we mentioned before, you've got your four roles, the commander,
who oversees finances, your squad leader who looks after the troops, and he also looks after the HQ, or the base.
Yeah.
And
which conveniently is the main place on the planet which the aliens attack.
It just seems to be, Hang City.
Yeah.
Maybe it's like those mouse traps, you know, and they put like the what is it?
It's got to be in the US.
It's because they've got a big-ass neon sign out the front door that says XCOM, secret base.
Will Smith lives here.
And the front door's always open.
And it's always
it. So the squad leader's job is to look after the HQ, and what happens every turn, as the app dictates, is an alien will invade the base. We were joking earlier how the door's left open. I like to think it's just one of those heat thermal snakes at the bottom that you put there when it's real cold. It's one of them just sitting there. It's like, we got it, boys!
That's called a draft excluder.
A draft excluder.
It's tech. It's tech
that
you can
like
research.
That sounds like a tool in a surgery.
Didn't see that card.
Just like draft excluder. The HQ has a health bar, which has got a pretty chit on it.
Yeah.
And moves up as the aliens attack. If you defend successfully, bar doesn't go up. There is 8... slots, so 8 hearts in your health bar, and once you get to the 8th, or however you want to look at it.
When you land on the 8th, you're done.
Yeah, you're dead.
Your base is destroyed.
And the companion app will ask you every single time.
Where's it at?
Were you successful in defending the base? If not, you move it up. Is the game over because the mission's been invaded? And does it ask you as well? It asks you if two countries.
Ask you where the continents. I see a big flaw. There is one big flaw with the companion app, and that's the ability to lie your ass off.
That
is actually one of my big lineups in summary. So I'm not going
to
say.
We'll probably get to that in a few of our attempts as well. Yeah. So is that's two ways to lose?
That's two ways to bet.
How else is there another way? Those are the two major ways.
According to Matt, if you fail the final
mission, you don't do it. I made that one up. You can keep going. And I found that out by just going through the app and myself and just pressing buttons. Okay, was the base destroyed? No. Was the base destroyed? No. Final mission available. Was the mission completed? No.
You're still playing.
And then it goes on to another round.
Okay. Yeah, of course
it
does.
But it makes things harder for you because whatever the penalty condition happens if the base is getting destroyed. So it'll punish you. So the more you ignore things, like the base defense, very quickly the base is either going to be destroyed or you're going to end up with no money or, you know.
So we all have our roles. We're about to kick off.
All right.
We're about to start the game. You have a couple of phases to the game.
The time phase, as we alluded to, and the resolution phase.
Now, we don't always know how long the time phase is, do we?
No. That's it's variable. It's one of those things that is impacted by the game, funny enough.
So what happens in the time phase then?
So in the time phase, you have X number of seconds to complete whatever the... And this is solely the role of the central officer. So nobody else touches this app.
Yeah.
Nobody else is responsible for it other than the central officer. It was my job on the first time we played to delegate, if you like, or tell everybody else keep them informed without telling them everything. And there's little things that you can watch out for. So the first thing that happens is it'll tell you how much money you have. It'll tell you how much research is available.
Yeah.
So then immediately the chief scientist is the person responsible for that. So the chief scientist draws 6 cards and decides...
Which in all formats of the game, six card hand is... It just maintains that, yeah.
Yeah. So at that point in time, once the chief scientist receives their 6 cards, they can start to go through those and start to look at tech they want to research.
Yeah.
The next thing that'll come up is for the commander, and that's the budget. So the game will tell you, based on the current state of the game, how much money you've got to spend next turn, or across this turn. And typically it seems to be from 10 to 14 billion dollars. Let's just say
money.
10 to 14 money.
10 to 14 money.
Yeah.
Skrilla.
All right. And it'll then start getting to some of the other things. They may seem formulaic, and they are. It's all maths. It's all random number generation, up to the point that it starts having an impact on the board. You then start getting aliens, UFOs appearing in orbit or around the globe, and they'll start attacking.
Which sets you up something to react to, doesn't
it?
It's part of your role.
Yep. The next thing that might happen is you'll go and put those out on the board somewhere. That's the central officer's job. The next thing that might happen is research tech one is available, so you can then take one of your cards, the researcher, and put it into
and assign it to one of the,
it to
you've got
one,
three
two,
slots.
Three.
Yeah, which is my tip of the game. I found from playing the squad leader and the chief scientist initially, I think in the tutorial, I did my bit when asked, then watched everyone else and went, oh, this is great. Yeah, what's he going to do? I then found out as the game went on, forget what everyone else is doing, prioritize what you've got in front of you.
Yeah.
And then when you're asked, because you're asked and you've got seconds, you want to go, right, in the time I've had allotted, I've prioritized this the highest. That's what I'm going with, right or wrong. And you've probably got a better chance of choosing correctly in that time.
I found that. I played as three of the roles. I had the commander, the squad leader, and the chief scientist. And I found that it's much easier just make sure you know what you're doing, because you've only got seconds to figure it out.
Yeah, pretty much.
And it'll all just...
You don't want to be gazing at everyone else and they go, right, what are you going to do, Riley? And then you go, oh, cool, I'll just read my cards now. Because you might have just been handed new...
That on the fly.
Yeah, because if you get new research off the... Like, in that last game, I was, as the chief scientist, I was flooding Riley in the squad leader. I just was getting loads of tech for him. So I was just giving him loads of cards. And if you weren't aware of what those cards were, that advantage that we might have had would just go to one side because you haven't read the cards.
Well, that pushes
time.
You into rash decisions and things that might not be the best for the game. And so you end up researching and wasting time on a card that's not going to help you in the end game.
Yeah.
The thing about the time phase is that it really is just giving you a lot of options and no time to think of an answer. So one thing I looked into a bit with the crisis cards, there's a phase in the time phase that basically states, Commander, pick a crisis. And the instruction there is to take two crisis cards, look at them both, put one back.
That's
how we played it in the first
game. And then we changed it because it was Matt's rules.
We played Matt's rules.
And so you've only got about, I think it's 6 seconds for the crisis phase. And so, okay, these are both really horrible things, as we discussed earlier. Which one can we deal with? And as the commander, you know what the cache is about, so you really need to put it down. With the chief scientist, you can only research three of the six cards you pick up.
Yeah.
And you've got, I think they get the longest part of the phase, and it's about 15 seconds to go, all right, where are we at? What do we need? Where's what? To be fair, the squad leader has probably got the least amount of pressure in the time phase.
No.
So I disagree.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Yeah, I really disagree, because the squad leader has to then look at the icons of each of their soldiers, look at how many they've got, and then decide, are they going to spend those resources on the mission or defending the base? You've got to do both things.
But it's more than that, because you have all of the cards that the scientist research is for the squad leader.
Yeah.
A lot of them involve putting a army guy on the card.
Yeah.
So you've got a budget for that too.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of
and some of them have the soldiers have specialities, so that which is marked by there being a yellow border.
Yeah.
And that gives you an extra dice if you roll.
Yeah.
So you want to match up the guys with the yellow border to the yellow border tasks. So you've got to, and you've only got a finite amount of troops, especially as the game goes on and you've lost guys and come back.
Yeah.
So you're trying to line up the right guys with the right thing. And that's how come I screwed up that time where I assigned a bunch of troops to a mission that they couldn't possibly achieve, because not only did they not have the yellow border one, they didn't have just the symbol to start
with. So wasted resources. They sat there on a mission they couldn't complete until you could either overwrite the mission or assign more troops to it. So it's a waste of time and resources.
I was just thinking before we move on, we might be getting into the resolution phase. Maybe we'll just blob right here, take a bit of a break, and be right back after this musical interlude.
Yeah.
All right, welcome back from the toilet, Riley.
Oh, thank you very much.
He was, he was panicking there, weren't you?
I had to recharge the anal probe.
Yeah.
Oh, it's always fully charged.
Oh, man, you guys are straight in there.
All right, we're flying through the time phase.
There was one thing about the time phase which I think, you know, was important, and that's how that can change. That can, depending on how many UFOs are appearing in orbit, because the more UFOs that appear in orbit, they descend down to the planet, the more panicked the nations become. It all has an impact on A, the amount of money you get, and B, the amount of time that you have to fulfill things. There's also a little button. It's a pause button, which you can hit at any time, but it's not finite.
Yeah.
So while you might have let's say 10 seconds to complete your defend the base task for the squad leader. You also only have, let's say you use all that 10 seconds or whatever, then you can hit the pause button. It gives you a bit of extra time, but it's only something like 30 seconds to in total.
Do you get penalised for doing that at all?
What happens is you get that time back during the final part of the time phase. For whatever's left of your whatever's left in your pause button gets added to how much time you've saved by pressing the done button throughout the game. So it gets added together, and then that's how much time you have in your final final timed section, which is for everybody. Yep. That's where the collaborative section happens. We start talking to each other. Okay, you do this, you do this. I need to do this. Has anybody got anything that can help
me? That's probably one of the most important parts, because that's when all the budget gets finalised.
Yeah, that's right. Well, the next step, which is the first step of the resolution phase, is audit the budget.
Right.
Which sounds, if you were to open it up with this game...
The excuses are going to start in a second.
I'm waiting for them.
XCOM, if somebody told you that this was a game where it's really important that you audit your budget, you'd run screaming.
It doesn't sound too exciting.
The fucking game about accountancy?
Yeah. I'm going to buy a game to audit the budget, which I really don't have
to
buy.
There are games like that.
I love doing my tax returns so much that I'm on a game.
No, it's far more important than that.
Yeah.
More is riding on you getting the budget...
This is keeping you honest, this mechanic, isn't
it? It does.
Because you've got to assign 1,000 troops to it, a million interceptors, and just nuke the crap out of them, research everything. It's all done. Everything in the game, but this keeps you honest to a degree.
Well, that and this, this dice tracker here.
Oh, we haven't talked about the dice tracker.
No, because that's in the resolution phase, Justin. So, resolution phase. What happens now? You've basically set up everything, put everything in a place.
Now
the timer stops. And what happens when the timer stops?
Timer stops. And this is untimed, as it suggests. You've got as much time as you like to complete the resolution phase because it's the die rolling, it's the chit moving, it's the resource shuffling, that sort of thing. Now, audit the budget, as I said. If you have placed more units, more interceptors, more soldiers, done more research, used more satellites than you can pay for.
It reflects on you personally in a very, very bad way, doesn't it, Matt?
And your maths ability.
If you can think of any sort of example.
Hey, I'm not the doctor of maths. I'm not Dr. Maths.
It went fine when I had that
it
role.
Did.
Exactly. Dr. Maths.
It was great. There was no problem that year. Tax agent was great. Yeah. What happened when you did it, Matt? That was...
How much were we over? 10?
Look, I got into some creative creative bookkeeping.
You got a budget of 13 and we're over by 10.
Yeah. Bought himself a pool.
It was pretty bad. I don't know how that happened.
Up in the Philippines.
But, look, it wasn't me. It was one of my office juniors.
All right. It was the intern.
It was the new guy.
So you got to make sure that whatever... resources you've pulled upon have been paid for.
The penalty for being over budget is you move your most panicked
continent
up another level.
Holy crap.
By the amount you're over.
Yeah.
So if you're over by one, okay, it jumps up one level. All right.
Not so bad.
That's not so bad.
If you're still in the yellow.
10, game over.
10. Yeah, 10. It moves into the orange, and then all of a sudden you've got one in the orange, and you only need one more to lose the game.
Well, for example, all jokes aside, we were four over, I think.
Well, yeah, it was four.
And that was pretty much game over for us.
And that was in the expert run as well.
So it was, you know, that was a game-ending kind of blow, that was.
Here's a question. Can you bring a country back down from the orange strip?
It's very hard, but you can. There are technologies... I don't know if it's technologies, but I think there are actually missions that allow you to do that.
Okay.
Decrease the panic buyer.
So you step in, save their ass, and they're grateful, and they'll open their coffers a bit more.
Slightly less panic.
Yeah.
And that's up to the squad leader to choose in the mission phase. Like, okay, so these guys are red. I want them to be yellow.
This
we'll
is what we need.
So that's that. It's a bad thing. If you're over budget, it's probably it is actually the worst thing in the game. Mm. If you're over budget, it's embarrassing.
Everybody in the room is relying on you.
And the other thing is it decreases your ability to finance future operations because the amount of panic across the world, across the globe, is directly related to how much money you've got coming back in for the next round.
Yeah.
So that 14 money you had last turn
yeah.
can turn into 10 very quickly. One thing we didn't talk about was the commander has access to emergency funds as one of their regular cards, which is 12
yeah.
money.
Yeah.
So it's 12. I didn't get
a good grab on how that worked.
Well, it works as emergency money. Think of it like the Reserve Bank.
Yeah.
So basically, whenever you, if you're coming over budget, if you think you're going to be need more money to pay for everything you've got, if the option comes up in the app to for extra expenditure available,
withdraw.
You can take as much as you want from the Reserve Bank.
Sure.
And spend it. However, it's finite. There's only so much on it. There are certain
cards that allow you. So if there was 12 on there, so you just grab all 12 the first time and get them into. And what happens next round? They get spent once and then they're gone.
Yeah, once the money is all off it, that's it.
But what happens to the 12 that come off of there into the general pool of money?
You lose it.
Oh, so it's a one-time use.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. Right. So same with all of your money in your pool. It doesn't carry over.
No.
The scientist has access to technology that can give you 2 extra every turn when you exhaust it. So you can take 4 and then don't worry about it. 2's got to come back next turn. So if the scientist is on the ball and gets you what you need.
So the money you're assigned is used and then discarded.
Yep. Yep.
But the money from the, what was it called? The excess
emergency funds.
That comes off of there, gets used, and then doesn't get discarded. It goes back into the box.
It doesn't go back to
the emergency funds, doesn't go into the pool of whatever.
It just disappears.
And then the app will tell you next round how much money you've got coming in.
Yeah, and you'll notice that I think only in 1 or 2 instances, and each round, each game lasted approximately 5 to 7 rounds, did that amount come back up again. So I think most of the time it's sliding down.
And we got through all of the emergency funds every time, yeah?
Most of it.
Yeah, we did.
Mm.
But we still over budgeted. Yeah. We still overspent on one
occasion.
I think the commander's got a really interesting job in the time phase because you've got 3 other guys that need money because the scientists can't get scientists without cash.
Yeah.
The squad leader can't get soldiers without cash. The
central officer can't get you satellites
to take on UFOs. And during the time phase, which is panic, like that's a word that we've said a lot in this podcast, and that is the time phase, in a word, I think, just panic. So you've got 5 seconds to figure it out. So you've got 3 other blokes that are like, can I have money? And you're like, yeah, because you want them to have cash. You want to win this game. And it's like, all right, Commander, can I have 5? And it's like, sure can. And you're sort of like on the fly trying to count it up. But at the end of it, somehow, you've got like, you just overdone it. And you're like,
That can really come back to the personalities of who's playing as well, I think. That's where that's important. Yeah. We kind of all played it like, I found myself just going, I'd like 4 or I'd like 3, and I was just holding up numbers. And you just wait until the commander was sort of sussing everything out and go, right, you need 3. Okay, you can have 3. Mm. And sometimes it was like that. I think it was Matt and Riley played it. They would come back and go, right, there's two spare. Anyone need 2 spare? And you're thinking, well, I could do, or I'm not really all that bothered, or that's pretty much essential initial idea.
And because of the speed of the app, so like, okay, you need 4 and you're sort of counting out your 4 stack, and then central officer will be like, okay, commander, you've got to deal with some crisis. So you've got to stop those numbers. You need to grab your crisis card.
You lose count.
Yeah, you totally
That's
do.
What happened.
All of this negotiation is done in the timed phase, which obviously you don't have much time for. And once it's over, that's it. And then you're stuck with whatever you've ended up with. Not that we've necessarily played it that all the time.
This reminded me a lot of Space Alert, which has that time phase in it too, where basically you do everybody takes their turns, it's programmable, and then at the end of the time phase you see how the mission went, see whether you succeeded or not.
Right.
Invariably it all went to hell. And this is like that because the next phase passes to the squad leader. You order the budget, the first time goes to the scientist. So the scientist is now actively researching technologies.
The next phase. This is all the resolution phase.
Next part.
So you'd take a counterclockwise trip around the board.
So the resolution phase is 4 steps.
Starting with the chief scientist.
So the chief scientist has put out
a trio of research things to research.
That's it. And now they
this week
also
on 7 Lane Hand, we think of words for 3. Looking forward to the next one where we do 4.
Hey man, I'm already on that.
It's going to be intense.
I can't wait for Cinco.
Today's show is brought to you by the letter X.
Isn't it, all one letter? So the scientist now is, they've spent their research. It's now time to actually make that research happen by doing the die rolls. This is where your XCOM die come into play. If you're researching that light plasma rifle, you need two successes to get the tech. And you've assigned two scientists. That gives you two rolls.
Two dice.
Two blue XCOM dice and one red alien dice,
which is ever present in any role.
This is you were saying, Justin, about is a clever mechanic. Is the threat? It's called the threat meter, and it's prevalent through every die roll you make. In that, whenever you make a roll, the level of threat increases, therefore making it harder. Now, for the at the early stage, so for the tech, for the scientist and the central officer. And also, does the commander do anything? Yeah, for the commander. It's not so bad in that it resets after every roll. So let's say you're researching the light plasma rifle. You've got your two XCOM dice and your alien dice. You roll them together. The current threat level is one. And you roll four on the alien dice. And you roll one success. So you still need one success, on meaning you're going to need to roll again. However, the threat level doesn't stay at one. You need to increase the level. There's more pressure.
Yeah.
This is what it represents. It represents pressure. So you move...
You're asking your research to stay up later and keep working on it.
That's right. Turn off the porn.
It's tough in the office.
I don't think that's going
to
happen.
Have one less Twinkie break and move the threat level up to two.
Always so American.
When you re-roll...
They're always American. So rough.
Always American. So when you go to make your second roll, the new threat level is two. So you roll your blue XCOM dice... again, you roll two, and you roll the alien dice. This time, you roll a one, and you've rolled no successes. Now, worst case scenario, you have failed to research the tech. But even worse than that, those scientists who were working on that product, on that project, are so exhausted by staying up so late researching that they can't come to work tomorrow.
Flavor.
So you,
it's a bit of flavor.
You fail.
No, flavor.
Flavor.
That was because you pushed them hard. They're exhausted. Hard, yeah. And now that's it.
Yep, they're out. And you don't get to re-roll on that. Unless you've got, you know, re-rolling research tech that can allow you to do it. So that's effectively, that's game over. But the threat meter, you then move on to the next
research task.
Project.
Yeah.
And you bring the threat meter back to one.
To one
so
again.
So it resets. Now, the
same thing applies for the central officer and the commander, but when it gets around to the squad leader, it changes. Just keeps on going up single time.
Well, you don't think of a mission getting easy all of a sudden. Yeah, one success. Oh, it goes back. I killed that alien. There's no more threat anymore. Hey, it goes back to one. No, it keeps pumping up all the way to five. Five is the highest it can go.
Yeah.
So work out whatever your percentage is for success from five out of eight. And
but the squad leader's got to defend the base and do the mission. It does reset in between defending the base and starting
that's
the mission.
Correct.
That's the only thing
but
you've got going for.
But not between defending the base while you're actively defending the base.
No, not while you're actively defending.
No.
You defend
not
the
while
base,
you're actively
that
on
ends,
the mission.
Then you go to the mission.
Yeah.
In between, it resets.
That's harsh. That can be a game winner or a loser, basically, simply. Because
it's a push your luck dice mechanic.
Is.
As
that's
the,
great.
And publishers said.
You'll find in the equipment that the scientists can research is a lot of it is handed to the other three roles, but it enables people like the squad leader to take re-rolls or re-roll the alien die or you automatically success.
Yeah.
Just to really that threat meter is not so harsh. I mean, this game is brutal in a lot of ways. It can really
you got to keep on top of it for sure.
It's really scary. Like,
well, we only won that last one because of the creative bookkeeping.
Creative bookkeeping.
More on that soon.
Yeah, but you totally would have locked out. But yeah, it's really important that each class, it's definitely not one and done with one guy. You can't carry it. Because no one guy can take on more than one of these roles.
So the chief scientist's done his bit, he's researched something, some successes, he's passed cards around the table.
Available immediately if it's available in the resolution phase.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So he's done his bit, he passes on to the central officer. What's his main concern, Riley?
So the central
Riley.
Yeah, sorry,
well,
Riley.
The central officer.
I'm just so first. Excited. Yeah. It's that kind of game.
First and foremost, pumped. Is controlling the app and doing all the app stuff. Yeah. But with regards
guy.
To playing,
in the resolution
this character
part, yeah.
resolution phase, you've got to look after the satellites in orbit and take out the UFOs with the ones that you've been able to assign to orbit.
So that's not really an MTV satellite that's been up there all this time. It's an XCOM satellite
it's an
in
XCOM
disguise.
Satellite.
It's the Disney satellite.
You see, they sound good, but they could also become exhausted because satellites get tired, apparently.
Is Sandra Bullock riding on any of those?
I think on one of them.
Excellent.
Yeah.
I like to think that they go out of position and are no more not useful.
Sandra
anymore.
Bullock or the satellite?
Well,
both.
Go back to that.
Sandra
probing.
Bullock ever been useful?
Oh no.
Well, it's moving swiftly.
No. I was going to say I had to stop myself from saying, but then I would have said it. So
somebody else stepped up
well,
and
what
played.
Yeah, well, I was going to say I'd like to see Sandra Bullock in many positions. But now I've said that, haven't I?
Is on a satellite
oh,
one of those
God.
Positions.
You can't be taken
yeah.
back.
Well,
geostationary position is what I was referring
oh,
to, listener.
Geostationary position.
Huh. Oh God. Hit the edit button here.
Timestamp.
No.
Yeah. So you've put satellites
Central
into
officer.
Orbit. You've got some UFOs you've got to kill. You roll XCOM dice, same as everyone else does. You got your XCOM dice and your threat dice. It moves up.
Yeah.
And you can hopefully kill all of the UFOs.
Or you can exhaust satellites as well, can't you? Do they disappear and blow up, or do they just get exhausted?
They get exhausted, same yeah. as scientists do. Most of what the central officer seems to be able to do with satellites, because you've got a big stack of satellite tokens you can use, and yeah. you can only deploy three, is you use them to redeploy other
yeah.
troops.
Yeah, so you can use them to...
Yeah,
you can so stick you can, on some of your tech cards,
yeah.
and you can all of a sudden you can redeploy soldiers from the mission to the base
yeah,
if you need
for
to,
free.
Or from the reserve, which is the area that where everything's kept, onto the board if it wasn't previously, or off the board if you
yeah,
so
if
choose.
They need to.
UFOs can be redeployed.
Yep.
So if that you've got four in Africa, for example, you can use that ability and redeploy one of those UFOs from Africa to orbit. And which is great if your satellites were in orbit and you were expecting aliens to, UFOs to be there and there weren't any,
yes.
you can actually share some of the load. But it's in terms of the roles, it's probably the
it's
one
probably the most toned down
yeah.
one.
You do get lots of tech cards that
it's
are
very,
quite influential on other people's
yeah, it's
turns.
It's a very supportive role. Most of your stuff seems to just interact with other players' things rather
yeah.
than anything on the board particularly.
And the card does say you're responsible for tracking the threat level. So
yeah,
yeah.
Got
well,
to monitor
it's
that.
It's right in front of you.
It's so. Right next to you. And you've yeah. not got much else to do. So.
The commander, the money guy, Justin.
The money guy's... I thought he was really fun.
Yeah?
Yeah. As I've already talked about how much numbers you've got to run and all that
you
sort of stuff.
You didn't mess up the money.
No.
It worked out perfectly
yeah,
when you did
I was,
we seem to have loads when Justin did it.
I was
yeah.
not like Matt.
Yeah.
No.
It worked out really
like,
well.
Were you
like
scraping,
where
were you
seen to
scraping
have
that cream off the top
and it worked,
of actually?
And it worked well when you did it as well, right?
Yeah, it worked very
yeah.
well when
I didn't play it at all, but there was no. another time when we
next,
had it.
Next time.
It must have been Matt.
You could have planned it at yeah. home, just like something else you need looking after?
I'm not going to answer these questions on what I have never misappropriated global funds
for
the defense of the defense of the globe.
So as
or
I was
any
saying,
other globe.
Yeah.
Or any other globe. How many others do you
the
affiliated with?
The commander, Justin.
He wants to be the yes man. Obviously, this is a team game. You'll want to win. You'll want to be like, remember that time when you whooped those aliens? Yeah.
But this is resolution phase, right?
In
so
the
we've got past
phase.
The expenditure
yeah.
bit.
So,
you've done your order.
You've done your
and
order. Oh, yeah.
Now you've got
global
responsibilities.
Defense.
Global
yeah.
defense.
So this is the interceptors, I think.
Yeah, it's nuts. So you've handed out all your money. You've audited the budget. Basically, you told the app, yes, we did it, or... No, we didn't. And
yes,
we did it. We did it. And you, what you've done in the time phase is put out some interceptors. Interceptors are taking care of the UFOs that have breached orbit and gone to a country.
This is where you assign names like Goose and
yeah,
Iceman
Goose,
and Maverick and all that kind of stuff.
This is where David assigns names.
Someone give me the name of a pilot that isn't from Top Gear. I mean,
Top Gun.
That is
it's a
wicked.
Stig.
That is, you know. So you
no,
got
that's, don't feel ashamed about that because in my house, my kids are always laughing at me when we go sit down to watch an episode of Top Gun, and we put on Jeremy Clarkson. And they're like, oh, Daddy called the Top Gun, and what does
surely,
that mean?
Surely Bruce Willis must have flown something at some point.
Yeah, well, yeah, but what was his moniker like? What was his badass name?
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Top Gun names.
Oh, I don't know. If you watched, what was that Charlie Sheen one? Hot Shots.
Oh, Hot Shots, yeah. Hot Shots was good. Yeah.
Is that a parody?
Yeah, it was a parody.
It was
a
parody of Top Gun.
Yeah. So their names
Baklava was one of the pilots. You know, it was Baklava. And he was one of the... anyway.
So you send your interceptors to where they're needed. So.
Howard Hughes.
There we go.
There we go.
The aviator himself. Yeah.
So you've got your red UFOs. They're not the resin grey. And they're sitting in orbit. And you've got your amazing-looking interceptor models, by the way. I reckon they're really, really cool.
Yeah, they're really cool.
They're straight out of the game. So 2K assets all the way. And... yeah, you use your interceptors again with the blue success die and the red alien die, and you fight the UFOs.
Over each continent that they're hovering over, isn't it?
And you're just duking it out. So you look.
Yeah, so it's the amount of interceptors that you've assigned equal the amount of blue dice you have to roll. Yeah,
exactly right.
And hopefully you've lined them up against a continent that has UFOs over them, and you try to get as many successes as there are UFOs.
So, yeah, exactly right. So, yeah, one thing to keep in mind, just because there's five UFOs sitting in a planet doesn't mean there's five alien dice. There's only one.
Yeah.
The threat meter is your enemy there, not the actual UFOs.
But the consequence of rolling under the threat, or over the threat, I should say,
will wipe out all of your interceptors.
Yeah,
not
yeah
just
that hurts. You feel like, I'll just lose one interceptor. No, they're all gone.
They all go.
There's a bit of a guideline on the board. They've put three interceptor max per continent, so I guess that's probably for your benefit, because you might be like, oh, man, there's like 10 UFOs. Like, get them all out, you know, and you just dump them, but you can only do three, which is good because it's way too much money.
Yeah.
Oh, as I found out being the commander, I was trying to buy interceptors almost every round because they got wiped out.
And it's expensive because it's one to build an interceptor, and that comes from your... Now, I used to get this wrong. It's not your reserve, from your recruiting area, isn't it?
Yeah.
So it's
like
you
build from recruitment area.
To your reserve area, that costs you one money, and then one money to get them into position.
Yeah.
Next
turn.
an interceptor on the board fighting a UFO is the equivalent of two monies worth.
Two cash.
Yeah. And when you're talking about 10, 13 money each round.
Yeah, spread over two turns when you've only got seven, maybe six, seven turns in a game.
And you can blow it in the first roll. You roll one on the threat dice, and
that's it.
That's the end of that.
Yeah. So all of a sudden, you're... Your $1 million trained pilot is flying behind your multi-million dollar interceptor.
Each UFO remaining on a continent, that increases the continent's panic by one.
As they're all looking at the skies worrying about it.
And that's something else the commander's in charge of, and it's a bit of a geography lesson, to be honest.
Well, it was for some of us.
Yeah.
Well, it wasn't for you, was it, Matt? Should we do this? Riley, how did you go?
I felt
really
well
confident. I could tell the difference between Europe and South America. Yeah.
No,
Justin.
No. Give it up.
In Justin's defense, it was Asia and Europe, though. And North America, and probably South America. Also Africa.
No.
Just name all of them. That's how you cut up. You said it's basically the same thing as me.
Real talk.
Defend yourself, Justin.
It was South America and Africa. And all that's in there.
There was definitely North America and
Europe
at some point.
Yeah, there's definitely North America and Europe, definitely. Yeah. I'm not that bright. But they're looking after the threat meter. So as we mentioned before, you've got your yellow, red, orange.
Put it this way. When Justin comes in next time and goes, I'm going on a holiday in America, we'll be going, now, come on now, where are you really going? What's the capital of the country you're going to?
Point to it on the map.
Yeah. I'm going to Busselton, you know.
He thought he was going to Vegas. He was just going to Busselton.
Almost the same.
The flight seemed really quick. They said I could just drive it.
But so the commander's looking after the threat level as well. And you know, he's the guy that I guess the other three people are sort of like, oh, so what are we at with, you know, what's the worst thing that can happen? And the commander's looking down in his command module, and he can tell you that Africa's looking pretty dodgy as far as panic's going. Australia's pretty chill because
whatever.
But we really need to look after North America
and the squad leader can have an impact on that by choosing the right mission as well, because then you can reduce the... You played squad leader, Riley.
Yeah,
you want to run
us through
what does a squad leader have to do? Who's the final role?
All right, so you are
in the resolution phase.
Of all of the troops,
the guns,
the grunt.
So you got to decide. You got to match up your troops individual abilities with the attributes that the aliens have when they show up. Mm. And you need to decide how many you, like the minimum you need to send on missions or to defend the base.
There is an additional bonus you can have to the soldiers, each of the soldiers, which the commander takes responsibility for as well,
yeah.
isn't there?
Yeah, the commander can just nab a soldier from your reserve and put it onto one of his cards and train it to become an elite.
Which takes a turn, isn't it?
Which takes a turn.
But it's
no
free.
Money. It is free, and it means that from then on, for that one soldier model that has been trained to be an elite, you get an extra dice in addition to any of the other bonuses you might get.
So potentially he could be worth three extra.
Yeah, I think
dice.
In that last game we played, I had one that was worth three.
Yeah.
But the negative to that is that you will have to take a soldier out of the pool that you've, that you've already made
you do lose it for a turn. But what I think we both found, David, is that you'd have soldiers and you just didn't have things to assign them to.
Yeah.
Like you had spare guys.
There is
you
that
didn't
thing.
Need them.
Yeah, you can get them into your reserve pool, but then you can't afford to get them all out into the field. So you might use them for like with those tech that came our way that you could put on the card and exhaust, but part of the exhaust cost was having to put a soldier on there or passing one to the commander, like you mentioned.
This really is a game of minimums because you don't want to overextend yourself. If you put too many soldiers out on the mission or too many soldiers to defend the base or too many interceptors out in the field, that one bad roll, you've lost them all. That's such a waste.
Yeah, it can completely wipe you out.
So you don't go for the overkill. You really do go walk that thin minimalist line.
Until the final mission where you just balls out, throw everything out.
Fuck research. You only get one go at it.
You only get one go at it. One shot. One opportunity. We've got to fail the mission, guys.
Another disclaimer, you get more than one crack at the final mission.
Yeah.
As many as you like.
Except
as you
play in the
with
McHale house rules.
They're rough. It gives an extra element of panic and threat to the game.
I think really you need it by then because each of the times we've gone to the final mission, we've just been able to just walk it with all the tech we've had.
That's when,
aside from that first
game. Yeah, so that's when it gets down to the final mission. It's almost like you look at all of your tech and you play. You get real serious. Well, all we did is just like, right, we're going to map this out so it works perfectly. Everyone's got their cards for re-rolls and
just going to play out the turn.
Yeah, untap an asset and use it again.
It's probably as serious as you should be playing the entire game, but it's like not as like, right, final mission.
But you don't have time to take it that seriously.
I'm going to add, if you don't take the liberties, if you play this game in the true way it's supposed to be played, you stick to the time limits, you don't go researching things before you should, you don't go taking troops before you should, and you stick to the time limits, and then during you don't have any extra tatter, so as soon as you hit done, it's done, this game's a hell of a lot harder. Hell of a lot harder.
Yeah.
Because time is your biggest enemy. Mm.
So, and just if we've hopefully outlined what each role has, I think most of us have played a few, most of the roles.
Yeah.
Me, perhaps not so many.
Oh, we've all played at least two of them.
Yeah, two. I was just wondering, has anyone got a take-home tip for the chief scientist. I found that early on it was probably best to go for some of the low-cost research so you can get stuff flowing out there. And I mentioned earlier, like, prioritize your cards while everyone else is yammering on about their own stuff. Has anyone got anything else for Chief Scientist that should do?
For the scientist.
Yeah, yeah. Anything else for Chief Scientist?
I think the scientist is an interesting one because you need to keep track of everything that's going on and then you haven't really got time to negotiate and tell people, oh, I've got these great cards. Because they won't understand what they do, probably.
Yeah.
So you just need to tell people what they're getting and keep an eye on the game and choose the research that's going to be best for the situation you're in or about to be in.
Yeah.
I found.
Yeah, I think that's right. And you see some of them have good combos as well, and you think, if I can get that one and that one, then, there's one research which allows you to place a victory on any other research that has a lab microscope against it. So if you're successful on that one,
as a first,
and then you get that it, resolution phase, tap it, you put one victory point on the next card, which gives you free research.
Exhausted.
I'm using those two terms interchangeably.
And then you immediately have
some research which you can pass on to somebody else that was one cost.
Yeah.
So that's super handy and gets you going. And we kind of found research paved the way to a more
successful
game.
Research was definitely a big enabler in this game. It helped a lot to get some good research going.
Yeah. So Central Officer, what have we got? Takeaway tips for that?
There's a button on the app which allows you to see forecast UFO sighting.
Okay.
It's basically, it gives you an idea of where they may appear. It doesn't necessarily mean they will, but it's a little bit of a hint. So,
always above rednecks, I found. UFOs always.
Well, a hell of a lot of them seem to appear in North America, yeah. So the southern states of North America.
We welcome our redneck friends from around the world, though. Yeah. We love our redneck friends.
Our redneck listener is a big part of our demographic.
A redback.
Well, redback.
This podcast has a
everybody that's drunk on
who am I talking to, really?
Well, we're going to go home and listen to it.
But the... Central officer. So you press that button, you get the opportunity to see where that they may appear. Now, with everybody thinking about what they're doing in front of them, I didn't find that I felt like the need to tell everyone, okay, we might be getting some aliens in North America, maybe some in South America, maybe some in Australia. So I actually kept that information myself. I didn't want to bog everyone down with thinking about where they were going to start appealing.
Yeah.
But I could see how that would be useful. So have a look at it as a central officer, because it's more...
we were more reacting to what was there rather than what might be coming. Usually tied up with the
immediate. So it could help you a bit preemptive.
Well, it's hard to plan for what's going to happen, because at the end of the resolution phase, everything that's on the board comes off the board.
Yeah.
Except the UFOs. So you can't put guys out preemptively for the next turn, because they're just going to come back again.
Yeah. So how did you guys find the app? You didn't. It was Matt and Justin played and used the app overall. Did that?
Yeah, it's good. With the Central Intelligence Officer and the app, you just need to remember that role is pretty much the voice of the app.
Yeah.
So depending on how close you want to stick to that game, and the game that's in the box and the game that's in the rules, it's really up to that CI, because he's telling it. Yeah, he's telling you when the time phase is up.
CI, Central Officer.
CIO.
Yeah.
Central Intelligence Officer.
All right. Yeah.
Okay. So it's really up to him. So it's kind of a DM role, but the app's taking care of the
decisions and the rolling for you.
But the Iron Fist should really be up to the CIO. Yeah. But it doesn't have to be. It's all in the name. Like we played it the way we played it. And it was really fun. Hands down. And that's really what you're playing board games for.
But you can
tell that this thing is a death trap. If you're doing exactly what that app was telling you, you're just going to get minced, especially in that expert mode.
All right, Commander. Any tips, takeaway home tips for the Commander? Matt, shut up.
Learn to say no to your players. Learn to say no, you cannot have that extra soldier. You cannot have that extra scientist.
Count as you go and mentally split up the money that you think you'll need. Roger. And sort of mentally meet it out. But don't tell anyone that, because...
Yeah. The stages of the game probably... early on, you'd probably be thinking research is going to require a bit more. Mm. Later game, you're thinking interceptors.
Yeah, research tends to suffer, I thought.
Yeah, which is fine. You can sort of let research go.
As long as it's had a good few first turns.
Yeah. If you're still struggling, then, you want to get some...
I remember
letting
you have at least three every single turn.
Yeah.
So
Dad's really good about that. He's just like, and he'll put this up. And the way that the board's laid out is the commander's on the opposite side of the scientist. And the cost involved for each... research is at the top of the card. So he'll put it out and he'll just like, I'm picking these three, and he'll lock eyes with that commander. He's like, this is what I'm putting out. And so it's really well designed, because you look down, he's like, okay, that guy's trying to go for broke. He's got he's got three costs, he's got two costs, he's going to need at least four,
It's the negotiation thing as well, because ideally you'd love to have loads of researchers on each one, but if you're running low on cash, you just have to, again, prioritise out of those three and maybe just withdraw some guys off a particular card.
I found it was better to be tighter with the money and have some left at the end. You could be like, right, we've got three money left.
Yeah.
Who's desperate for something?
Yeah.
And then just dish it out.
Don't rely on being able to access the extra expenditure either, because extra money, because
sometimes
it doesn't
you can't
happen.
Same with the research, that happened once, didn't it?
You
got level one, you got level three, but you never got your level two.
Yeah, that's right. Because the app will say assign research to number three, and then you're thinking, all right, number two's coming, and it just goes to number one, and that could be the end of it. And sometimes you're sequencing things, so when it says research number one, that might be all you're getting, but you don't know. It might change the order in which you play the cards.
Well, that's the impact of UFOs in orbit. the more UFOs you have in orbit, the more it actually messes with the timing
sequence
of the app and the sequence of the app. It's like misinformation gets dealt out, and then all of a sudden you can't research as much. You can't access the extra money, you know. So you don't get an opportunity to defend the base.
Yeah,
I don't know if that one came up.
I don't think they do that. But they take things away, like you don't get to access your emergency funds, or you won't get all the research.
Yeah, maybe more penalising you.
Maybe only get one opportunity to defend the base, because you normally get two goes to put soldiers out there, because more enemies come in.
Right. For the commander's also managing the crisis card, so he has a job as well, which is important to make sure that at least the squad leader knows we're going to hopefully negate what we've got a chance of negating one, which one are we going to do. So sometimes there's a prioritisation thing there, isn't there? So you're going to say, this is the worst one.
Yeah.
We just need to negate this one.
We could least afford to happen.
Yeah. Sometimes we had a chance to discuss that, didn't we? We got three cards here. Which one's going to hurt us the most? Because they're always nasty.
That's in the resolution phase. And all the crises are this horrendous. They're aptly named.
Yeah.
So the commander just really having to, especially with that two-card draw, just having to, again, foresight the things that can go wrong and what would hurt the most. So just picking and choosing.
And that's all I was thinking about for the commander as well. I think he's in a tough position. I didn't play the commander, but he's in a tough position because he's in charge of building interceptors and assigning interceptors. So being the yes man that you were talking about, Justin, you can usually go yes to the other three
and then totally forget about
interceptor.
That's how we ended up 4-0 when someone was commanding. And that totally happened to me in my run. It's like, okay, there's three UFOs here. I got the budget for one, which I correctly assign, and then you're just sliding that one interceptor on the board, and you're really hoping the dice work out.
You probably, even distribution of money is more important. Squad leader, what are the take home hints for that?
Keep track, you guys. You got to be aware of what each of your units do, and where they all are, because it's really hard to. I found it a bit difficult to match up all of their abilities with all of the enemy's abilities all of the time.
Yeah,
You want to maximise that, because that means more dice.
And that will come back to haunt you, because in the resolution phase, it's not timed. That's when you notice, that symbol matches up with that symbol. He would have totally wiped the floor with that alien.
Yeah.
But instead, he's just chilling back at the
base.
Barracks.
Well, yeah. And I think a good tip for the squad guy would be that his part of the resolution phase comes last. So you've got three sets of dice rolls, and that's something I'm going to talk about a bit with the tempo of it. You've got three sets of guys running through what they're doing for you to work out where you should be sitting these guys on the cards. So you've assigned them to the mission. You've got these phases within that.
Yeah.
That gives you the time to go, yep, you know, and get those guys in the right slots. Not to say don't play the game and ignore the actual crucial part, but just really lock it in so you can be a total boss and just headshot everything.
Yeah, you have to go left from right, left to right as well.
Yeah.
When you're clearing up.
The squad leader is in charge of winning the game, basically.
Pretty much.
Because you get the mission, which is the final mission. Yeah. So everyone else is about, everyone is trying to not lose the game. And then ultimately it comes down to you winning the game.
Yeah. It is very collaborative in that sense. It's probably one of the purest examples of a collaborative game, because the commander frees up the money to be able to buy the resources. The scientist gives you the technology to be able to get extra roles and do extra things.
Yep.
The central officer is in charge of dealing with any stopping
the
misinformation by getting
things around.
I also think he's a really
logistical stuff.
The officer's really in charge of the scars as well, keeping in mind that the officer has the ability to take UFOs and relocate them to orbit where the satellites can take care of them.
Yep.
So the commander's sweating because, you know, he didn't give himself the right amount of money. He's only got one interceptor where there's three UFOs. The officer can be like, tell you what, mate, we've got to grab claw this thing straight out. We've got to bring it to orbit and I'll take care of it because, you know, they're real smart.
The squad leader also, get those soldiers trained up to elite level. You only get, there's a maximum of four in the game. You can do it. Yeah, it's four.
And it can be done. It's an easy thing to forget. If they're just sitting around in the barracks doing nothing, you might as well give them to the commander and he can suit one up for you.
And doing it earlier in the game is better, as long as you can keep them alive.
Yeah. Well, they're worth three potential XCOM roll dice.
Yeah.
You know, that's a big boon.
Yeah.
And what you said there is like it's really easy to forget, and I think that's what that game is maximizing on. Like it's
really that's what it's really pushing for.
Yeah, it's really the same. Okay, we're going to flood you with so much stuff that you forget some things, and it really comes out in the wash, like when you're really rolling these dice out, and it's really awesome like that.
Yeah.
And it's good, like you need the elite ones because one of the final victory conditions you can only do with elite soldiers.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right. Why don't we blob and we'll have a chat to Justin about potential expansions.
Yeah.
Expansions, Justin. You've got your finger on the pulse of the grapevine.
Not really. It's just if you're looking at this game and what's involved. So we've talked about the alien cards. Well, I tried to, and you know, there's certain bits and pieces that are very present in the 2K game, which is they're on the box. 2K Fraxis made this. And 2K made a game called Borderlands. They make a lot of things.
Oh, yeah.
And
2K is in the video.
It's a development company. Office in Australia as well. Quite cool.
You can tell from the name 2K.
Can you?
Oh, no. No, you can't.
Horrible.
Maybe it was apparent to you, David.
They're in Katanning.
It's one of these lies, like we'd get paid for this.
And Kalamunda. There's two of them.
So, in the video game, this is all there, and it's up to one guy to look after. And you get attached to the units that you assign to missions, and they die. And you're like, oh no!
Cry when they die.
You know, you're sitting in front of your monitor and you're weeping and all that sort of stuff. But this game does a really, really good job of taking that single player experience, splitting it four ways, and having an awesome time. And like I said, a lot of the assets are refreshed. Like the music's the same in the app. All the graphics are the same from the game. And one thing that I've figured out or noticed that there was an expansion to XCOM Enemy Unknown called XCOM Enemy Within, and that comes out. That came out.
Matt's already working on the anal probe joke.
Pretty much. It came out a year after the fact, and it introduced a few mechanics. And one of those was a meld mechanic, which was micro nano machines, and meld became a resource that you could collect and use in the science phase to enable. So you put an alien.
So you're using alien technology back against them.
Using alien tech on your human guys to.
You know,
give them sweet like.
Yeah.
Better chest armor, like better guns, all that sort of stuff, and you send it back out, and you know they give it to them pretty much.
Yeah, right.
Another thing was a new enemy, which is called the Exalt, and that's the human sympathizers. So they're like, man, we should be using this alien technology for good, man. You know, like, let's do this. You know, and they work in collaborative with the aliens and, you know, got hold it. They got, like,
I imagine their expansion pack's going to come in a Hessian bag and smell heavily of marijuana.
They were the people standing on top of the building.
What
did I
say? Yeah, Hessian Independence Day. Yeah. Totally.
Yeah. A hemp bag.
Fried. Totally.
For the record, no, I meant hemp bag.
Yeah. Yeah. And that could be a possibility. Nothing, obviously, this is just me guessing. But if they're really going along with the game from, you know, the PC, then there's a lot of stuff that could be brought to this board game without too much addition. The Excel could be another set of cards, or even they could sneak that into one of the roles. Mm. So, let's say you want to go turncoat, bam, you know, like, oh, I'm actually going to be taking the cream, like Matt was. Maybe you're the Excel buddy. And maybe you're
traitor, right?
Oh, yeah. So there's a traitor. Oh, I suppose for a traitor,
I think this game is intense enough without having to worry about a traitor going
let's
on.
Let's just go to town.
That'd be fun, though.
Yeah, that'd be great.
I don't know. I think it'll be a bit too stressful. And with the music, too, I don't know.
It was very,
the music's great.
Yeah. Yeah. So maybe as an expansion, a different soundtrack, a different theme.
Maybe just update
depending
the
on the mission you're playing.
This comes with a set of speakers with a massive sound.
Does that mean that expansions... Does that mean that expansions may actually filter through in the app then? So
there
might be maybe a little bit more interactivity.
That's what we're really about. And Fantasy Flight, you know, they're a company, and they're going to be thinking about ways that they can either
maximize it.
So, maybe buy a small deck of cards, and there's a code for the update in the app.
Yeah.
And go for it.
Brilliant.
It's really smart, and I'd really like to see some more app stuff in our board games. I had mixed feelings about it, because board games are board games, and, you know, video games are video games.
Yeah, sure.
You really are sort of mashing it up a bit, and...
Well, my concerns with console gaming's gone. I don't know if there's going to be, with what you were saying there, if there's a possibility for the same thing to happen and bleed over in a board games where, you know, like with the Xbox and the PS4, I think both did it. They release a product that's broken and doesn't do everything they say it's going to do, and then they fix it over the next year and a half with updates.
I'm not sure if that's Xbox and PlayStation more.
Xbox definitely did it.
EA and...
Xbox definitely, the unit came out and they said, we'll do all this kind of stuff. Like, I use the DLNA thing so that the media center can talk with my computer, which was on the Xbox 360.
It was. Yeah, it's just a standard, and you had to download it as a work in progress.
And you had to wait for about a year for it to come out on the Xbox, which was rubbish. If that sort of stuff, you know, like, because essentially, you're saying games publishers now can sell you a game and bits of it are a bit knackered. And then when they get the call, oh, this bit's knackered, they'd fix it and send you an update that just updates the game. Now, I would hate to see that sort of thing bleed over onto board games now. You know, if we become heavily reliant on like the app, which XCOM's worked flawlessly for us, but if we become more reliant on that, is there a possibility for that sort of stuff to happen?
The manual's a good example of that, I think. That there is no manual. It's online. But it's really, I found it hard to go back and look for things in the app manual to find the
during the game
question.
Asked you a few things, wasn't it, and it was like, what's the, you know, what's this such and such, and you're like, I can't really tell you right now.
Couldn't get back to it, that was the problem.
You'd have to get into the resolution phase and then say, I'm going to go look in the manual now. Is that how it works?
I'm not such a fan of the tying it to that. Like, it's a cool idea, but I don't like having to have something else to play a game that I've bought.
That is true, yeah.
Like, I just want to play a game. I don't want to have...
That's the thing. That's a downside. That's probably the only downside I think of. See, I'm not a console gamer. I do not come to this with any knowledge of the XCOM universe. All right? So my pure experience is based on this board game. And what I see of the board game is that it's a seems to be it's an enthralling
absolutely
it's a bit of a thriller really that I can imagine if it's based on the source material
which
truly
totally
based
is.
On the source material
totally is.
They've managed to capture a lot of that.
It's really really good, and like I said, it's a single player experience on the PC and stuff, but they've split it so well, and the same pressure's there because you're freaking out at home because you're not going to save a country, or you know, you don't want your boy to die that you've trained up through eight missions or whatever, and then it happens, like
one more day to retirement.
A victory in this game really does feel like a collaborative effort, though, as well.
Because
even though, as we were saying, it comes back to the squad leader at the end, the chief scientist has pumped him full of research. The money guys made sure that there's enough soldiers there to do it. I suppose to a lesser degree does the central office of...
You've got to keep everything under control until the game tells you that you're on the final mission is available. And maybe you're not in a position to tackle it yet, so you have to keep battling through for another few turns.
I like the fact that the iPad was involved. I just wouldn't want them to misuse it at any stage, you know. Yeah. So, we're buying less in a board game and more of the app, you know, then it'd become really shitty. Yeah. But, you know, as XCOM stands, I was... fucking brilliant.
it's good fun. We all had a really good time.
The one question I wanted to pose to you guys was that, so you've got the app, and let's say you went, electricity runs out or something. Do you think this would work with the fifth player acting with a series of manuals? Because the way I say the app, it's yes-no questions or if statements. So it's like, did you guys defend the base? Yes, no. Okay, you didn't. So is there a way for a fifth player
to flowchart that?
I reckon you just DM screen it up and roll the dice for a number of UFOs and then roll another one to see where.
Yeah, you definitely could.
You could do that.
Obviously, it's not something that you could do unless someone reverse engineered the app or something like that to make like a offshoot. But I think it would be cool to have a fifth guy because... something that I've thought about is that the honesty system is so important, and not to say that like we're blatant cheaters or anything, but
that's something we should cover before we get into the quiz. What happened, Justin?
So the thing about the time phase is that you really should be sitting on that clock. You really need to be performing the actions and buying the units and placing them where they need to be going in that time phase, and it's really easy because it's so vast just to forget, as we've talked about. And so time phased over, guys, and the guy sits up from his iPad and looks around, and you guys are just there's guys in the wrong spot. Still deciding things. Yeah, you're still trying
there's
to figure it all out.
There's cards that you should exhaust during the time phase, and you go, oh, crap, I was going to do that. And it's like, oh, I'll just do it.
I'll just do it now because I did it, right?
Cheat.
Yeah. And so, like, and it's really because all four of you at the table want to win this game, right? And you don't want to be that guy who's like, listen, man, I didn't see you tap the card, right? Good, have to leave it, because that means that the squad leader's calling you out, but you're calling him out on something that you need.
But that's the thing, you sort of think you can kick. Like, now I think if we were going to play this again now, we could say, right, none of that. We're going to play it hardcore. Mm. If you don't do it, we're going to say, you just got to leave it.
And, I find that. And because you've got that crazy amount of tempo going, you're just rushing through this game because you have to. And then you get to this, and then you get to the resolution phase. And the first few minutes of the resolution phase was us doing stuff that we should have done
in the time phase.
And this crying. It's the time up, you know?
But So I think, we're three games in, Justin, you're two games in, right? I think now we'd be ready on the fourth game to go, none of that. Yeah. We've got to stick to 100% of the phases.
I guess the point I'm trying to make is that be aware of that.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, just, I don't know if there's like a. You walk into good games on a Saturday, it's like, two, boys, we beat Expert, and it's like, everyone's like, whoa, like, gather around, tell us how we did it. You know, I don't know if it's like, you know.
I think part of the bleeding over some of the stuff into the resolution phase was part of the fact that we were all new to it.
Mm. Yeah.
And we've all done different roles now. But I think if we'd played the same roles three times in a row, we'd definitely be pretty hard on the timings.
And that's played it a week apart. Yeah. So, with that involved, I feel really comfortable with it. It did feel a bit frightening to change roles, but that's me. You guys were pretty quick to say, I want to do something else.
Yeah, just because the aspects of the game are so completely different.
Yeah.
But all of the roles play totally differently.
You sit down in front of, like, going from the squad leader to the chief scientist, you sit down in front of a new deck of cards, and you go, I've sort of seen these upside down from across the table.
Yeah, and someone's told me they do things.
Yeah. So, there's a little bit of a learning curve. But the app negates a lot of the learning curve well, doesn't it? Because it says, do this now.
That being said, would you, because I'd see this game as something that if I had a mate who just played video games and was like, board games, man, got to roll dice and stuff, and this looks pretty.
It's the gateway game from consoles.
Would you think it's like that? I had a bit of a. I feel it's kind of like a bit more of an intermediate game, like you sort of have to have an idea of game mechanics before, because literally it's got every single bit in the boxes.
I think you've got to ask yourself if I'm playing a game on. I mean, it's the same for most things. That's why I like Fantasy Flight, is because it's well presented. I can play any kind of crappy game if it looks beautiful. And it's the same when you get to video games as well, any sort of console gaming. If it looks good, I'll play a lot of it before I decide that the actual gameplay is shitty.
That's tried and true.
So it's like, why is someone playing a video game? If they're playing it for the movement and... the animation and the graphics and stuff, visual stuff.
You're going to be disappointed.
Is this going to be enough? Thankfully, it is a Fantasy Flight, so if there is that step over, they're going to be well pleased with seeing the miniatures, being quality, good chits and a nice board and that sort of stuff. Yeah. That could get you there.
If they're kind of just captured by bright lights and explosions, this probably isn't
going to be enough.
Can I bring you back to Gears of War as a prime example? Because Gears of War, a very popular console game, the adaptation to board game was actually very... It was very miniatures-based. It was combat-reliant. It was... changing boards. That it was AI. It was basically active AI, which in a lot of cases this does too. But it was very sort of cinematic in feel. Do you reckon that they managed to port it?
Not
well
properly. I enjoyed it a little bit because I'd played Gears of War and enjoyed Gears of War, but then it fell down a lot because you just had to. You know, when it said this is the objective, you had to go and do that objective, and you had to do it together. I was playing it with Dave. Dave would go, hey, I'm going to run off here and see what's in this chest and separate up. And there was no allowance for recovery from that. You'd get separated. It would take you a long time to move back and get it together. And then that initial objective, which is your win condition, just became in the distance. So I think that it struggled there where, in the console game, you can run around and do whatever and there's loads of chance to make up time.
The other thing that was missing is tempo. This manages to, I think, having never played the XCOM game, but from what you're telling me, Justin, it's quite a quick game. Things play out.
Yeah, so
very quickly. This
you take care of the troops and you take care of home.
Yeah.
So just like the time phase is your combat phase, so you've got to be making these decisions. Otherwise, your boys die, and then you go back and take care of house. And so it's kind of the reverse, because we're taking care of house in the time phase in the board game. And then the combat stuff's where you sort of get to finally sit back and sort of think about it.
Just enjoy what happens.
But it's quick. It's quick. Very. This is not a slow game. The resolution phase is the slowest part of the game. However, everybody's still
learning.
It's a bit of a break. You know, not every role is... Actually, that's not entirely true, because if the technology and the re-rolls and things happen, everyone can be actively involved in everybody's resolution.
You're looking down at your stuff. You're still making decisions on what cards. You're still prioritising your cards.
You're cheering them on, too.
This game is very exciting. Yeah. It's a very exciting game to play.
Most dice rolls are important.
Yeah.
They'll have an impact on you.
Everything matters.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's no part where you're like, this part we can just forget about for a while. Like, it's all important all of the time, and the timer adds a lot of pressure to it. Mm. So if your gaming buddy is open-minded and willing to try a board game, I reckon this is a good one to start on, because it is intense.
Yeah, look, the box says 1 to 2 hours, and I think most of that is resolution phase.
Yeah.
Do you know what they give you on the time phase? Overall?
It like depends all on the number of rounds.
5 minutes.
So
I reckon 5 minutes, probably about right.
5 minutes, depending on the number of rounds. It was all measured in seconds. So you had, at one point,
I'll give you a clue, Matt. There's 60 of those in 1 minute.
I did actively look at them, and sometimes you had maybe 5 seconds to do things. Other times you had 25 seconds to do things. So it was quite variable.
Right.
Probably
about 5 minutes. It felt like 5 minutes on average for a time phase.
Yeah, I would say so.
All right, so who's wrapping up on what do we think?
Excellent. Great game.
Brilliant, eh? Yep.
Yeah.
Anyone got anything more wordy than just, oh, yeah.
I thought, oh.
Two anal probes up the backside.
Whose?
Of David.
Oh, man. Wow.
Again?
Just going on a tip.
It's great. Every week. I enjoyed it.
Yeah. 100%. Absolutely. I'm already looking forward to playing it, and we've played it every week for the last three weeks. It's like that.
One note I made was that it's the box, everything, the way it's presented, the way it plays, it's really intimidating. You get scared of this game.
Mm.
Like, you know, the way that the stuff's on the board, and you're just getting totally slammed by UFOs and pressure by the app and all that sort of stuff. It's intimidating, and it's not the kind where it's like, man, this is way too stressful, I don't want to play it. It's just pure fun.
I think that's what makes a collaboration better, because you actually feel like you're doing
all the time.
Get it done, you know. Yeah.
You're doing it all together. So it's a wonderful arms across the planet kind of sensual experience. I'd like to refer to it as.
Huh? Play with the family?
No, because they're all idiots.
Rude, I suppose. Yeah.
Well, no. Lucky Fee doesn't listen.
Yeah, she's not listening to this. Hey, I took home King of Tokyo. Oh. That's the kind of guy I am. No, it's probably not a family game. I think
a little bit too tense.
You'd end up hating each other.
You don't want to yell at your daughter or something. It's like, what? Where's the money?
But it's
and she's four. But it's she doesn't know.
Still better than Monopoly.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, yeah.
I could just see it, yeah. Poor Trav there. What do you mean the budget's we've overspent? What the hell do you mean? Add it up properly. Come on.
What have I been sitting in school for? No.
they have concepts of, you know, if you're short of something, you know, it's like, if the air conditioner breaks, what are we going to do? You know, you ask a four-year-old out, they go, well, just have to go and buy another one. you need more interceptors? Just go buy more.
Well, that is the attitude. I think maybe that's
what we should have next time.
How many soldiers do you need? 20? Yeah, get them. Go and buy it. Satellites, buy all
of them. Just pull
them
out of another game.
All right, I need a quiz.
All right, let's quiz.
We're going to find out now if you three are smarter than an alien invader.
Yes.
I've even got a theme song. You want to hear it?
Yeah, go on.
It's as simple as this. Are you smarter than an alien invader? Because if you're wrong, he's going to probe you later. So don't get an answer wrong.
Sensing a theme here in my first podcast.
Which alien is invading?
All of them.
All of them at once. And here comes Marvin.
No, these are greys.
Greys.
These are your custom greys.
Which were they in XCOM?
They were the big bulbous-headed guys with the big eyes.
Prawns.
Sectoids in the XCOM universe.
All right.
The prawns.
No, not the prawns. They were here. The prawns were here. They were just refugees.
Yeah, man.
Well, maybe that's what these aliens were in XCOM.
XCOM.
No, they're not. They're
did anyone try and negotiate with them?
So we're quizzing it up.
Yeah.
So
that's not an option. That could be an expansion.
That's a whole expansion right there.
All right. In the quiz, question one.
Oh, here we go.
So you need a piece of paper, write them down.
My pen's not working.
We'll go through the answers at the end.
Here we go.
Are you guys playing this at home? Is that how we're rolling?
Yeah, they'll be playing it at home.
Yeah, yeah, play the stuff.
I do. All right. In 1994,
that's too far.
Which electronic game publisher was responsible for first introducing XCOM to the gaming world? Was it A, Firaxis?
Oh, it's multiple choice.
B, Bethesda. C, Microprose. D, IO. Or E, Hasbro Interactive. Do you want the choices again?
I'm good.
Okay.
We got this.
I've got this down. I got this.
All right, cool.
I listened to my intro.
Yeah.
Oh, well, okay. All right. Question number two. Oh,
Matt's going to dispute my intro, my well-researched intro.
Wikipedia, why?
It's in the question.
I rang up Eric M. Lang and I said, hey, man, what happened back in 1994?
He was like, what the hell? Why are you telling people I've got five faces?
Yeah, he said, why do you make fun of my head? Shut up. Tell me the wrong answer. Damn. Mum always told me to be nice to strangers.
Question number two.
Trying me to get kidnapped. Oh, sorry, question number two. I thought we were done.
Yeah. That was the quiz. Yeah. All right. Question number two. Which former pro WWF wrestler starred as the lead character in Jordan Carpenter's classic hidden alien invasion film, They Live?
Oh, man.
You know I choose a lot of movie references for my
business. I got this.
They
I got
Live.
This one. So which former WWF wrestler starred as the lead character in John Carpenter's classic alien invasion film, They Live?
There can only be one of... I've got three answers.
Is that because you can only think of three?
No, I can think of more, but it's those guys that were in movies.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
do you know your WWF wrestlers? No. All right. Question number three. Now, there's... this is not a long question, but... All right. Just pay attention.
Sit back.
It's longer now.
Identify. It is much longer. Identify the titles of these alien invasion films based on the following one-line clues.
Right.
Oh, all so
right.
This is a multi-part.
Yeah, yeah. There's question. Several parts to it.
Okay. It's a question three. There's going to be a 3A, 3B, 3C.
All right. So first one.
Yeah.
An amnesiac gunslinger seeks absolution.
An amnesiac.
Gunslinger seeks absolution.
Damn. I love these.
If you can see the expression on David's face now, it's like, what the fuck?
But that's the expression a lot of the time.
Yeah.
Oh, it's fair. I think I know what that is.
All right.
Amnesiac.
Tell me when you, if you could.
Gunslinger. I'll just write in amnesiac gunslinger. All right.
All right, you can come back to it. All right.
Yeah.
Okay, number two. Arnold, Jesse, and Carl find more than they bargain for in Central America.
Oh, shit. Look at the response time on these two. Hang on, these are all really alien movies.
Yeah, yeah.
I can think of the best quote for that.
Yeah, they're all alien invasion films.
Find more than they bargain for in Central America.
Yeah. Arnold, Jesse, and Carl find more than they bargain for in Central America.
Oh, dear. I'm in trouble.
Central America.
Just, they're not lines from the movie, okay? No. They're just clues.
These are really well done.
All right.
That's because you're getting them all right.
Number three. If you don't get this one. Number three. B6. Hit.
All right. We've got that low, have we? Right.
That's what we've come down to.
Here's a clue. That movie sucked.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Here's another clue. I've never seen it.
Oh, all right. You're quoting it?
No, I'm not quoting it. I said that one. All right. You'll love this one, David. The sexiest alien hybrid ever.
I know that one.
I thought you would.
I was wondering.
Hang on.
The sexiest alien hybrid ever.
I know who I think.
I think I know which one.
And name the movie.
Yeah.
Okay, right. Name the movie. All right. Next one. Fighting aliens, one pub at a time.
Oh, yes. I know that one.
Fighting aliens, one pub at a time.
Oh, yes.
I don't know the title of that film.
Oh, dear.
That's real bad.
All right. Last one.
Oh, yep. Last one we've got there, have we?
We're up to F.
Yep.
Chavs, save the world from space gorillas.
Chavs,
save the world from space gorillas.
Chavs is a very English kind of term.
Yeah.
Yes, there was a
really good film.
Space Gorillas would be awesome name for a band.
About the Space Gorillas.
They were basically, yeah, kind of. I don't think they were Space Gorillas.
No, I may be paraphrasing.
Right.
Oh, well, they're
this
all
entire
paraphrasing
time.
All of them.
Nah.
It's not Chavs
saved the world from Space Gorillas.
All right. Seems like Matt's been reaching to the depths of his VHS collection for some of these.
I was going to say, well, maybe IMDb.
I'd be very surprised if anyone else had ever seen this film. So.
None of these movies have ever seen Blu-ray.
All right, next.
We are Space Gorillas.
Delve into history now. Right. In what year was the very first recorded sighting of a UFO? In what year was the very first recorded sighting of a UFO?
Are you taking all those cave paintings as recorded sightings of UFOs? Or
that wasn't recorded history, was it?
Well, I mean, there are recordings, and we know how old they are.
No, let's just say it has to be on paper.
Okay.
All right.
Or papyrus. Or...
A cave wall.
Bog roll.
Amnesiac gunslinger.
What is the highest grossing alien invasion movie at the box office ever?
Too easy.
What is the highest grossing alien invasion movie at the box office
I'm going
office
to call
ever?
You on it and I'll see what happens.
And then we can just argue about based on whose stats and all that kind of crap.
All right.
Eating time.
Central America. Okay.
Now this next one is going to be for a bit of fun. Not really for points, but a bit of fun.
Unlike the other questions that have been.
So you'll probably need a separate column for it.
Oh.
It's called word association.
Oh, shit. This is some psychology stuff.
Yeah. So this is 6. Is this 6A?
Yeah.
This is question...
This is 6.
6.
6, yeah.
Word association.
6A, there's 20? 8 of them.
There's 28.
There's 8 of them.
All right.
A, B, C,
and there's no
D,
real wrong or right
D.
answer, but...
I believe it will be.
Yeah, we're going to be judged.
Okay. Word association. I'll give you a word and you write down the first thing that comes in your head.
All right.
Okay.
Anal.
What?
What?
Anal. Oh, no, I can't write down what I just thought. Oh.
This is why it'll be fun.
Oh, no.
Just write down map. That's what I wrote.
Oh, dear. So the first one was anal, for anyone who missed it at home.
Okay.
Do you want to spell it for me? Can you use it in a sentence?
No, I can't.
Oh, no.
Second one.
This is your show.
This is
cattle.
Where
this is where the cutting.
Yeah, I don't know what that word means. Can you use it in a sentence for me? Yes. Cattle.
Second word, cattle.
Is this where the editing happens in the show?
No.
No, you don't need any.
Oh, it's all raw.
Next
like
one.
Probe.
Alien.
All right.
So, first thing that pops into your head.
Yeah.
Next one, memory. I like to add a bit of a flair to my quizzes.
Sure.
All right. Next one, lost.
Lost.
They're writing furiously whatever comes into their minds. It's a good insight into the caliber of the people that run this podcast, I think.
Is it?
Well, maybe not. To respond to being having random words thrown at us.
Next one, chip. Chip. Come on, this next one should be the easiest.
Oh, you said there weren't right or wrong answers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, that's true. They're not, but it should be the easiest to think of a word.
Oh.
Mulder.
Yeah, I think everyone's going to have the same one. Yeah.
Sure.
And the last one, moon.
Moon.
Now, I think I wrote the end other parts of these word associations, okay? So I've got my own.
Oh, all right. So there are answers.
They're not necessarily answers, but I'll give my... We'll all go around and all right. give an answer. All right, last question.
Sure.
Who would win a battle between Alien's Alien and the Predator? Again, this is we're going to take a vote on this one. So
who would win a battle?
Yep. Who would win the battle between the Alien's Alien...
Yeah.
So, you know, Ripley, and the Predator.
I used to have really strong feelings on this, and I can't remember what they were.
I can't remember how the films went.
I think an important thing would be, like, in what context?
Doesn't matter. Okay. Any context. This is to decide the final answer for this question forever.
Sweet.
Okay. We'll
shut all
we'll
the
set it
up
straight
on,
here.
Online.
Because that was question seven for Seven Land Hand. Well, yep.
All my questions are seven land. Seven questions.
Seven lands.
Yeah. Seven land hand questions.
Oh,
three more than you need, ladies and gentlemen.
Gunslingers and Retribution. Forgetful.
I couldn't get one of
them. All right. Do you need any more thinking time, or can we go?
No, I just go for it. All right. Fucked on question three.
In 1994, which electronic game publisher was responsible for first introducing XCOM to the gaming world? We'll just go round robin, shall we? Round the table.
Yeah.
Justin, who'd you have?
I picked C. Was that the
Microprose. Yep. Okay, where'd you go, David?
Microprose.
It was Microprose.
Yeah, so that was good. My intro was correct.
They actually first bought it, and then they were bought out by Hasbro Interactive at one point, but then it went back to Microprose, and then... Okay. And then somebody else took it over.
Yeah, so that was
fascinating.
New Year's Eve.
someone else did it in a different year.
1993, if you want to be
real. And changed some things.
Was it?
Yeah. So it was 94, basically. 94.
Yeah, okay, basically. Okay, which former pro WWF wrestler starred in They Live, John Carpenter's classic alien eating film?
This guy's got a wicked
face. We'll start with David.
So it's not going to be him, because he's a freak and he's a freak. I'm going to go with George the Animal Steel. Don't shake your head so soon. They might have had that.
Are you old, man?
They've all written it down.
That's super dusty.
I said Matt McHale.
I said Macho Man Randy Savage because you said WWF.
Oh, close.
Oh, I didn't know the difference.
It was Rowdy Roddy Piper.
I was
really?
The Piper. It was the Piper himself.
Oh, man. I thought he would be more of a cartoony. I was looking for someone freaky. I had Hulk Hogan, Andre the Giant, and George the Animal Steel, and I went, Hulk Hogan's too sort of flashy.
Yeah.
Andre the Giant, he was in a few movies, so I thought, he's a red hot go for
it. WCW only? Oh, that's going
to
hurt.
See, I had to go WWF, because when it changed to WWE, you know, that's the whole new, that's the
I'm
rock
killing
and
my
all
cred.
That shit.
I'm killing
I didn't know
it before
either.
That. Oh,
all right. Riley's
Rowdy
checking
Roddy
this
Piper.
On the internet.
I'm Googling it.
All right.
It was.
He wore a kilt. Yeah. It was pretty sick.
Yeah, that was going to be one of my clues, but I thought that would give it away.
Yeah, I would have got that, actually.
Identify the titles of these alien invasion films based on the following one-line clues. An Amnesiac Gunslinger seeks absolution. Riley?
Total Recall.
No.
I said Total Recall as well.
No. It is Total Recall.
Gunslinger? David. No, I didn't have anything.
Cowboys versus Aliens.
Rubbish.
Not rubbish.
Cowboys
Arnie in Total Recall is definitely seeking absolution and cannot remember who he is and shoots people.
Space Cowboys had nothing to do
with
it.
The Gunslinger had amnesia because he was abducted by aliens, and the town he was in was called Absolution.
Wow,
he said retribution.
But he's in Absolution, so he's not seeking it.
Well, he was seeking it because he was in the middle of the desert.
He's trying to deliver it.
All right. Anyway, Cowboys versus Aliens.
We don't like to lose here.
We were right.
All right.
I don't know if there's a score.
We can take a vote if you were right.
Number two. Arnold, Jesse and Carl find more than they bargain for in Central America.
David, come on. You got this.
What is it, Justin?
Is Arnold the Arnold from Different Strokes?
Dylan,
if I said,
you son of a bitch, and then it's the most epic handshake in world history, and who goes up? Predator.
Yeah. Oh, so it actually was Arnold. Oh,
yeah,
shit. And Carl Weathers
and
Jesse Ventura.
Body,
yeah, no, I didn't have it. And Central America, of course. No, I didn't get it.
All right.
Oh,
what was number
God,
three,
that
Riley?
Was dumb.
Battleship.
B6 hit.
Yeah, I got Battleship.
Okay, David, this one. Come on.
Hang on.
Sexiest alien hybrid ever.
Species?
Correct.
Woohoo.
Wow.
Natasha Henstridge.
Woof.
I went for Fifth Element. That's what I put down.
Not bad.
Because she's not an alien, but...
Yeah,
I don't know.
Not bad.
And it wasn't the chick, it was the microwave. Because that thing was amazing. They put the drop in and a chicken came out, and I'm like, damn, if that's my future, we're doing it.
Okay, fighting aliens one pub at a time. Justin.
I didn't get it. Because I knew. I know it's Shaun of the Dead. I know there's another one.
Yeah.
I know there's one other one.
You're loads. Right.
At World's End.
Thank you.
At World's End. Okay, and last one. Chavs, save the world from space gorillas.
I had nothing.
Neither.
What do you got, Riley?
Attack the Block.
Correct,
the
Attack the
film.
Block.
Attack
it's
the Block.
It's fantastic. It's set in London. Right, these chavs living in a tower block.
Really?
An alien. They kill a lady alien that all of the male aliens are trying to mate with, and then they all go nuts.
It sounds like a movie from that era in time where they just made dance movies.
It's actually...
like Step Up?
It's actually fairly recent.
it's another Nick Frost film.
Yeah.
Right on.
He's in it.
What was it called? Attack the Block.
Attack the Block.
I can't recall who was the...
So you better step up, Dave.
No one.
We've got to attack the Block.
It was all relatively new
So anyway, attack the block.
Do you want to do a score check now? Because have we got off?
Oh, I'm not keeping scores.
Are you not? I am. I want to know wins. I've not
right.
done well.
Got that wrong. Right.
I'm on four.
2, 3, 4, 5.
Oh, right. In front.
Yep.
Okay. In what year was the very first recorded sighting of a UFO? Recorded sighting of a UFO.
I said 51.
This is a total jag.
1951?
Oh, yeah. I said 54.
1954?
42.
1942?
Yeah.
Nobody wants to change their answer.
No.
It's probably really early.
Okay. 1561 at Nuremberg on April 4th.
Stupid.
Witnesses recorded seeing something like a battle incurring in space, in the sky. So it was 1561.
Did they say UFO?
And there was actually... Did they use that term? UFO, but it was there was tapestry. There was like a...
It was a tapestry in the sky.
It's a tapestry. Something like that.
Someone used it in a catapult.
It was on the news tapestry in the morning. Yeah. They'll read about it.
And I did that one. I did Google for earliest UFO sightings. So that's when it came up.
Right.
Well, Google's always right.
What is the highest grossing alien invasion movie at the box office ever, Justin?
I'll hold mine because I've got something to say.
Okay. It's getting like that. David?
I've got Independence Day.
Yeah, I went safe with Independence Day.
Incorrect.
Yeah.
Fuck, I said Avatar. And here's why. Because who invaded who, son? Yeah. And aren't we the aliens?
Oh,
aren't we
see.
All the aliens?
Yeah. Okay, so you'd be, the answer is actually the Avengers.
The Avengers?
Yep.
Oh, that's such a stretch.
The aliens only invade for like 2 minutes.
They still invaded.
Yeah. That's really bad.
That's nearly as good as the question.
A fuckload of money. Come on. That's,
nearly as good as Matt asking us the question, what is my mother's favourite alien movie?
Oh, I forgot that one. She doesn't watch alien movies.
Oh, no.
Right, word association.
It's Day of the Triffids, I bet you. It's a great film.
Dave of the Triffids.
Have you seen the TV series, the BBC TV series?
Back in the day when I was little, it was a bit scary.
They redid it not that long ago.
A reboot?
Yeah.
Oh, this is what we love around here.
No, I didn't see the reboot.
It's got...
a Doctor Who character.
It's got...
guy who played Doctor Who, I bet you. David Tennant. He'd move over into that.
The one from... 28 Days Later. What's his name?
No, he's a comedian.
Eccleston. It's always Eccleston.
Oh, shit. He plays a bad guy in it. I can't remember because it's really funny. It's really weird. He did the Jeff Vader.
Jeff Vader?
The Jeff Vader
skit.
Is that
Eddie Izzard.
Eddie Izzard.
He was a bad guy in it. Anyway. All right. He wasn't the Triffid, though. The Triffids were already the bad guys.
Yeah.
Right. Word association.
Well, what are we going to do with the word association?
We'll just go around and share our words.
Yes, of course. Right. Matt's going to have the most depraved ones.
Okay. Anal. Justin.
I went straight for probe.
Yep.
Sarah. It's Facebook conversations.
Does she listen to this?
I scratched it out because I actually had paintball.
Hang on.
I'm not saying which one.
Can we...
You can look on Facebook. It's all on Facebook.
Okay, probe. Yep. If you got probe, get a point.
Hey, why? Oh, come on. I went with honesty.
Right there's answers. No right or wrong answer. Right
but I went with honesty. Oh, that was actually what went... All
right. Okay. Cattle.
Prod.
Probe. No. I didn't go for probe. I thought it was what you said.
I said prod. Cattle.
Prod. I went with black and white.
I said mutilation.
Black and white was two words, so I get two points.
Right.
Do you have very vivid dreams, Matt?
I've seen my fair share of the X-Files.
Okay.
All right. Well, it probably wasn't even the X-Files. Was it cattle mutilation in the X-Files?
South Park.
It must have been some sort.
Alien.
Where?
Okay.
Alien.
Invasion.
Oh.
That one. Invasion.
Sigourney.
Abduction.
Yes. Oh, we were all wrong.
Memory.
Game came to mind. Memory game.
I said erase. Oh, I said erosion.
I said loss.
Fascinating.
Okay, lost.
Found.
Evangeline.
Time. Lost.
Yeah, we were on
lost
the same
time.
Page.
Yeah, many UFO abductees record losing time.
Oh, I didn't realise it was word association relating to aliens.
Well, what else were the quizzes on?
You just said word association.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to talk about.
The theme is alien.
That's
right.
Smart.
Yeah.
Chip.
Dale.
Calculator.
Kipper.
Implants.
Kipper.
Chip.
Yeah, one of those books.
Fish and chips. All right. Okay.
Mulder.
Scully.
I went Fox. Fox and.
Fox and Scully.
All right.
All right. Last one. Moon.
Bear.
All right. You go.
Marion.
Now, she's going to be very happy about this because she's on the next episode. Madison. because Madison Jones did the picture for Mr. Moon, I think, and he's using some of her artwork for a thing. So at the moment, I saw the moon picture she did.
Fair enough.
I went Facebook again.
Nazis. Moon Nazis. Iron Sky.
Great film.
Maybe Madison's a Nazi.
Iron Sky 2 is being is going to be funded.
Why? Yeah. Who's funding it?
No, it's crowdfunded.
Oh, Jesus.
Everything is.
Everything's crowdfunded.
But yeah, yeah.
I crowdfunded the petrol to get here tonight.
It's Nazis in the centre of the planet. Oh. The centre of the Earth. Jules Verne. Blah, blah, blah.
I picked Bear because of the big blue house.
So what?
And the last one.
Oh.
Who would win the battle between an alien and the Predator?
I said Predator.
There's a lot of other things going on.
I would like to argue Alien because they're like they're synonymous with like zombies and the onslaught of death itself, and you can't escape them. They're eventually just going to get in front.
Is there
implanting
like,
a predators themselves?
Have you got? Is it just an arena one-on-one? Are we in a Colosseum?
I went with the simplest of deciding situations. There's three of you. You each get a vote, and the majority rules. Predator wins.
Did you say Predator as well?
Oh, no, I didn't say anything. Suck it up, geeks. It's the Predator.
I'm not having
it. The Predator wins.
I'm not having it.
I knew it.
Get back to living life, people.
That's it.
That's the quiz.
That was good.
Tweets and news. We didn't get any answers, any questions to... answer against the rather late posted XCOM podcast, but thanks for Paul Mattingly from Ice Cream Social, who actually favourited that tweet, so thousands of people would have read that question. Fortunately, I didn't give clear details on how to post questions.
I hate to answer these questions incorrectly and make us look bad.
No, but like someone on the Ice Cream Social crowd have probably seen that and go, I'd love to ask a question about XCOM, but I don't know where because this guy totally badly worded his thing. I didn't know he was going to get, favorited on Twitter.
Can we send him a figgity fuckity in the face?
Sure we can.
Yeah.
Oh, we've got to record another... Jock versus Nerd forum, I think. So we'll have to. Let's not wing it now. We should do it properly.
So in order to avoid this problem in the future, how can we talk to Seven Hand Land?
Seven Land. What?
Seven Hand Land. Seven Hand Land.
Oh, he's got right. He's got this far and he's fucked up.
We have to start the show again.
Where am I? Oh, he's come to the wrong podcast.
Oh, Jesus. But how can we talk to the show?
Seven Land Hand.
How can we what?
How can people talk to you guys?
That's right. So we don't avoid it. Well, we've got the Facebook page, which Aaron usually says, which is when you go to Facebook, you just go to Facebook.com/7landhand with the number 7. We can be found on Twitter under the same handle at 7landhand, and that'll cover it. If you spam us either way.
What if I live under a rock and I have neither of these things?
You could leave stuff potentially on the 7landhand podcast page on Board Game Geek.
Comment.
Open up the geek lists. I didn't do one for XCOM, but I will do one for Star Realms, something that gets people, feeding us shit that we can talk about.
Sure.
Yeah. Well, it is good. It is good. Think of it as a way to, if there is something about a game that's coming up or we mentioned that we're going to review and you want to know something about it, we might not cover that, so it's another way to find out about a game that you might potentially want to play in future.
Or you might want us to look at.
Yeah, for sure. And that Dave's not going to... Good Games Dave isn't going to push in front of us. all right, so... what we're going to do, we've got a while ago on the Beer and Pizza show, the Meadax was there. If you managed to follow his drunken ramble, he did mention the idea of pushing likes up to 200 on that said Facebook.com/7landhand. Well, not Facebook.com/7landhand. That's another way you can get in touch with us as well. Go to 7landhand.com.
The website.
The website. Yeah, but no one uses that. No. It's just the place where this is stored. Anyway. So the Meadax, he said that he was happy to give away 2 Stormbreath dragons that had been soaked in beer for something, some kind of initiative if we got close to 200, if we got 200 likes on our Facebook page.
What sort of beer?
That's an important question.
Well, what sort of response have we had is kind of thing. We actually went back 6. So 6 people have unliked us since that point in time. So
they obviously weren't true devotees to begin with.
Yeah. So,
come back, please.
Yeah, we need to, we need to win them back.
What are they going to do about the tattoo?
Well, yeah.
What's that?
What are they going to do about the tattoo?
Yeah.
A 7-hand test. You not have one.
Oh, what are they? Yeah, of course I do.
We all have one.
All right, but we've come up with another initiative.
Yeah.
This is pure genius.
Yes. Hang on. How's you're talking about mine, right?
Yeah, I believe it was your idea. Yeah. Sorry. Well,
everyone knows.
Not the genius idea. The one... Oh, wasn't it Justin's idea, wasn't it? You just stole it off of him. Justin came up with an idea that Matt is now taking claim to.
Well, he'll be taking care of it, so that's all I am.
Yeah, there we go. No, I was going to acknowledge it was Justin's idea.
I didn't see how that was going to roll out, did you?
No, I didn't see that coming.
All right.
History is written by the victors, and in this case...
Hey, I'm really shit at auditing the budget as well. I'll put it out there.
Did we point that out earlier? We pointed that out.
I can't remember if it came up.
Yeah.
So all our regular listeners would know that we've started doing an RPG podcast. You know, occasionally. We did the D&D 5th edition.
Occasionally, once. We've done it once.
Yeah. We're going to occasionally do it again.
It was great to listen to if you've not heard it already.
Yeah, it was next massive
one.
Fun.
It was.
Why weren't you on that, Riley?
I can't remember.
Finding everyone's fuck-ups from the last 6 months.
But I wish I was.
Yeah.
And
you were
offered like a lot
before.
Of fun.
Yeah, anyway.
Yeah. You were one of the original offerees.
Hopefully next
first one
time I can make it in.
Yeah, sure you can.
All right. Well, I'm going to run with the Fantasy Flight's new release, the End of the World series, Zombie Apocalypse, which has just come out in the brilliant red book. And basically, the kick to this game is you get to play as you during a zombie apocalypse.
Okay.
So it's going to be set here in the store, and it's going to be just from a core group of players. But the initiative that Justin thought of was we could involve the listeners somehow by giving them acknowledgements through the podcast, through the RPG, as NPCs, something like that. So if you want to hear your name incorporated into the...
And find out what horrible things might be able to happen to you.
Yeah, exactly right.
horrible things you can do to us.
Yeah, that's true.
There we go. Suggestions, that's a perfect one, because a lot of the stuff is just... we could take suggestions on what I could do to the players.
Yeah, well...
And then also what I could do with them in the RPG.
So then what's the idea then? So we get to 200 likes, we take random names out of the likedom and incorporate the recently liked them so that you can get that by asking your friends to like the page.
That's it.
And just getting involved and sort of promoting it as much as you can to help spread the word.
So like the page, drop a comment, tell us what... Name what if you were a zombie? What would your name be if you had the brain to have a name?
And just use your name because it's a game.
And maybe like a graphical interpretation of biting a neck. So like, I think in the game is
something
it's
you
like,
want to do.
Yeah, zombie came in and swipes your face. Give us some beef. Give us
a little bit of a story or some background or something. If you can be bothered.
Like
the page and we'll be happy to drop your name into the game. That'd be good fun. Just see how you survive or don't survive or take down.
I haven't got a timeline on this yet, so we'll discuss.
It will happen there.
Well, it's going to happen when we get to 200 likes.
Look at me making claims. I'm not even sitting here normally.
That's a good idea. So we get to 200 likes and this we will do this RPG podcast.
That's it, exactly.
All right,
that's
so
the limit.
That's an incentive in and itself, really.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't know anything about the Fantasy Flight game, role-playing game. So
good, the less you know, the better.
The only way to find out, get to 200 likes, play the game.
That's it.
Make it up.
Boom.
It won't just be a real push.
It won't just be a superficial involvement, like, and then zombies, Jack, John,
a superfish involvement.
all ran into the room.
we'll take suggestions, things like that.
So, all right, Game of the Month special. Well, it hasn't really worked out this week because this month, but what's going to happen in future months is the game that we review is going to have some sort of special just for listeners at Good Games St. James, now in Cannington. So what would normally happen is we just did XCOM. You come in the Good Games, you say something. We'll say from like the podcast, like we're trying to remember something that we just said or done that was ridiculous that you can land on Dave and tell him, you're sponsoring a podcast, and they said this. Keeps him on his toes. And you get a bonus. So I think, you might buy, if you bought XCOM, you might get a free booster of the current Magic the Gathering set or something like that. Unfortunately, XCOM isn't in stock at the moment, so we can't run it immediately. However, next month we're going to be doing Star Realms. Now, Star Realms, I've been assured there'll be loads of copies coming in. So next month, listen to the regular 7-Land Hand. We'll give you a password or something stupid to say, at the end of the show. And when you walk in and buy your copy of Star Realms, there'll be some sort of bonus, which we'll also should know about by that time as well. Wow, specials. Wow. This is like we're being sponsored, isn't it?
We'll do a dance. It would be interesting to be sat here working and have people come in and do a dance.
Yeah, nobody's going to do that, though.
No,
yeah.
Well, then...
If this isn't an incentive to like what we're doing, then I don't know what is. This is pretty impressive stuff.
You are just saving money.
If you bought three copies of XCOM, you'd have three boosters. Anyway, no, that's making
My
it
Little
sound.
Pony.
All right, next fortnight, we'll be back with Seven Land Hand Extra, the Magic Focus podcast, and we'll be chatting to Madison Jones with all of the art that's come our way in Fate Reforged, maybe some other things, but generally an art cast. However, that is around pre-release time, isn't it, for Dragons of Tarkir?
Yeah.
So maybe what I'm going to try and do is get hold of Kian or Rob or Riley, get together, do a spoiler-drooling frenzy over whatever cards are coming out for Dragons of Tarkir. So maybe, yeah, there might be an extra.
Yeah, check the trailer out. The trailer
is really cool.
Is that on the Good Games page or the...
I know, I went to click on that, but I didn't get to see it.
So Good Games... St. James on Facebook, they got the new trailer for the Dragons of Tarkir. It's amazing.
Cool. I'll have to check it out. Have you got an outro, Matt?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, in that case, I'd just like to mention I did Kickstarter for the first time and I've been...
Yes, I've been impressed.
Yeah, I know. Everyone's been proud of me for doing it, but then also Matt has been slagging me off for kickstarting the wrong thing. you said you...
They're beautiful. Look.
Yeah.
Are you going to talk about what you've backed?
Yeah, but I've backed Blood Rage, the board game, which... In my defense, I've always said I like good-looking things that don't necessarily work well, hence the wife.
How much have you backed?
there was only one level. It was like $70 early bird. I was too late. $75. So $75 gets you the board game. And then as it's got certain tiers, as I understand they're called.
Stretch goals.
They've released other miniatures and other molded little components for it. There was a fifth player edition. Matt had already said, it doesn't look like much of a game. And we'll find out. We'll find out for this podcast whether it's a game or not. Matt said, doesn't look like much of a game. And I immediately bought the fifth player edition extra for 30 extra bucks. I'm in for 105 at the moment.
Yeah.
When it got to the art book by Adrian Smith, who was the artist that I followed that got me into the this whole thing, I didn't get his art book.
Why not?
Because I know it was like $25 or something, and I thought...
Was pushing it a bit much.
I was already in 105 on a game that Matt said that I shouldn't have done.
Is this in US dollars or was it in pounds?
I don't know.
Because the conversion rate...
I think it was a little bit more.
Exchange rate is going to hit you.
Keep in mind you don't pay until it's launched. So.
Yeah, nothing's happened yet.
If you come away with a bad game...
Well, it was only a
sweet miniatures. Yeah. Oh, yeah, at least I get the art book for 105 plus 20, 130
that's
bucks for an
standard
art book.
If you think about it.
Is it? For an art book?
Like some good ones, yeah.
Yeah. No, you're right.
It was only 15 days for the campaign, too. So
yeah, it's not big.
I know. Yeah. I think that's always been touted as a way to get rid of the game, to sell the game rather than fund it.
I wonder how much money they make on any board game that comes out, because I think they're up to like 350,000, 380,000. I mean, how much more money do they need to make on a game?
Well, they've got something that's done. I think that's the thing. They've got a ready-to-go, ready-made product.
Yeah.
All it needs is the green light to produce.
Yeah, some
and
sales
ship.
And distribution, maybe,
yeah,
probably.
That's it. Yeah. How that differs from a lot of the other Kickstarters is some of them are still funding artwork, some of them are still funding...
they've got to get people on board
not
or something.
Game development, but all finding production, people to produce it, that sort of thing. Anyway.
So what's your early tip? It's going to suck when it arrives and we play it?
Oh, look, it looks awesome. Studio McVeigh.
Yeah.
Cool Mini or Not. Cool Mini or Not? Was it?
Yeah, it's Cool Mini or Not. Yeah. And he's like, McVeigh was from the old White Dwarf guy, wasn't he? The sculptor from that. I mean, it's like Adrian Smith has designed, painted all these characters up, and they've sculpted characters based on his paintings, and then they've put it into this game, which I know nothing about because I was too lazy to watch the video.
You didn't even know there was a video.
No, I didn't know there was a video until Riley told me about it.
You'd be a bit worried about Adrian Edmonds.
No, I'll be right into that as well. That'd be cool. Vivian, the board game.
There's a concept.
All right, that's
great.
We've gone super long. Let's get out of here and finish.
Let's do this.
Well, this has been XCOM. Thanks, gentlemen, for...
XCOM.
Yeah, XCOM.
XCOM. It's the last time you have to hear that.
Oh, thank God. So I'd like to thank Riley and Justin for coming on board as our fourth member for this podcast. And David as our host. And, of course, Good Game St. James for... being the,
keeping the
bricks and mortar
while we did it.
In Cannington, yeah. Literally. Yeah.
Now in Cannington.
We've been talking about hypothetical invasion here by aliens, and we've been fighting it off. In fact, we represent XCOM. We are the ones that keep you safe in the night. We are the ones who take all the anal probes when you're not ready to take them. We take one for the team.
Yeah, Matt takes several.
But I thought you were doing the Fight Club thing volunteers. There. We cook your meals. We drive your ambulances.
We took your anal probes.
We'll give them back.
But what I was going to talk about are invasions that might not have been. So the first one, War of the Worlds. H.G. Wells came out in 1898. Into print.
He came out. I never knew he was gay.
It's fantastic.
It aired as a radio drama in 1938 and caused mass hysteria and panic. Allegedly caused mass hysteria and panic.
Orson Welles. Yes. Orson Welles did the radio play and terrified
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
It's all set around where my parents live. It's quite interesting around all that.
Orson Welles make good water.
Well, what was great was the remake in 2005.
Good water. Great water. Orson Welles.
No, that wasn't great.
No, it wasn't great. And that's the point.
Caught up with you.
That was not great because nobody can get over the fact... Yes, it was War of the Worlds, but nobody can get over the fact that Tom Cruise was driving one of those fucking... shipping container cranes on a port. I mean, he can't do that shit. He's
also,
Tom Cruise.
You know America, sucks. War of the Worlds is all set in the UK.
I guess it was a reboot. So yeah. It's a fucking reboot. That's what was wrong with it.
The book was definitely better.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So much better.
Another invasion was the D-Day landing, of course. The famous misinformation that was thown out by the British and American, or the Allied forces.
Yeah.
By dumping a body into the ocean with fake letters. Now, what happened, of course, we all know, is the name...
fake
the
letters. That was the 27th through to 30th letters of the alphabet.
I'm
going to
figure these out.
Bomb.
Qua.
we have translated.
It actually went ahead, of course, and we all know what happened to that victory in Europe as a result of the Normandy landings. But what we don't know is that all the Nazis managed to get to the moon beforehand. So they're on the dark side of the moon. Iron Sky's a documentary, people.
Mm.
Not fake.
Out now from Axis and Allies.
Another interesting invasion was the British invasion of America, which... I'm talking about musical invasion, of course. Yes,
the
musical
Beatles.
Invasion. The Beatles, the Dave Clark Five, the Kinks, the Rolling Stones, the Herman's Hermits, and the Who. The only casualties there, of course, was record sales for the next 30 or 40 years, and, of course, women's undergarments, I'm sure.
Covering new territory.
I don't know what's going on anymore.
I don't know.
Because they all wet themselves with glee.
You're entering key and anecdote mode here.
Tom
Clancy.
Is this cuttable yet?
Wrote a book in 1986 called Red Storm Rising. It was a Cold War thriller in which the Soviet Union, in reaction to a refinery being destroyed, decided that they were going to take on NATO so that they could get access to the oil fields. Hypothetical. Seemed very real at the time. Tom Clancy famous for writing lots of books that could happen, I think. And the last one, of course, was Star Wars. How is it that in a galaxy far, far away with hyperdrives and faster-than-light travel and that we haven't seen them yet?
Because it's really fiction.
Because they know better. There are much better invasions than these.
Yeah.
There are loads of...
these were fake ones.
These were made. There's the time Denmark invaded Germany, and they spent all this money on this amazing army and spent 5 years running around Germany trying to find the German army. The German army didn't even know they were there. They met them once, and then they lost. That was it. Or the time...
Yeah, that one's great. No, that one's perfect.
It's good. Or the time Switzerland invaded Italy and came back with one more soldier than they left.
Really
Switzerland also accidentally invaded Liechtenstein like three times.
So that just goes to prove that that real life is actually more interesting than fiction.
There's so many.
At that time I invaded Subway when I was really hungover.
Yeah.
I bought two Subways.
That's
the best.
That's the one I was thinking of.
We all remember that day.
Two subs.